Check it out.
You know, we always ask for money at the end of the show for your Patreon, but we're not doing that this time. Ryan and I have surprisingly opened our cold robotic replicant hearts to sick and damaged children, and we're doing a fundraiser for them this Saturday, the day after this fucking episode airs. We're going to get together, and we're going to start playing video games at 8 o'clock in the morning.
November 4th.
And we're going to play video games for 25 hours.
Daylight savings time.
Daylight savings time.
You said 25?
Yeah.
You committed it to...
But yeah, so it's all to benefit the Children's Miracle Network hospitals, which are our local hospital, Riley Children's Hospital in Indianapolis, is a part of. We're raising money for that. Every absolute fucking cent you donate goes to them.
Yes.
We don't take a cut. Extra Life doesn't take a cut. Nobody takes a fucking cut. Everything you give goes to sick kids. It mm-hmm. cannot get fucking easier. So don't be an asshole. Don't be a dick. Don't be a robotic wrestling. Give us some fucking money. Go check us out. It's Extra Life Experience Grind.
If you didn't see, for your donations, you can unlock certain
achievements. At $800, I swear to God to you, Ryan and I are going to recreate the pottery scene from Ghost. We have not decided who's Patrick Swayze and who's Demi Moore yet.
I was going to say, you guys vote and we'll do whatever you
decide.
Yeah,
if you want me to be Patrick Swayze, I will.
But
if you want me to
be
Demi Moore.
Because I really don't want to be Swayze.
I will totally get shirtless. I don't care. But us get this goal.
I would love that.
Do you guys need to borrow a bra so somebody can
what?
Be in front?
No,
does
she has.
She doesn't have to have a bra.
She has a tank top.
It's just
on.
Important that Swayze's like, you know, shirtless and manly back there.
Yeah.
That's I can't pull
but
that off.
That is at the $800 record. We are almost at $400 now.
How much for a habanero pepper?
So habaneros on the day of the stream
her
are.
Favorite.
$25 gets you, you get to choose who eats a habanero. But I will fucking tell you, there is a limit on that bullshit.
Lies, there are no limits. You give us as many as you want. We'll take $25 for each one and you will suck it up.
You're gonna eat
for charity.
No.
I'm not eating 100 habaneros.
A habanero
also, we're
going
to have some guests. So if you're watching and then you donate, you can give it to one of the guests too.
Yeah, they'll eat it.
So if you really want to make that cheating Micah, take a habanero.
Also,
pepper. He might be there.
What about karaoke?
Farmer ass?
Karaoke, we're like $10 away from karaoke. We'll probably surpass that, I hope, by the time this episode drops.
What about,
if we don't have $400 by the time we start, I'm going to chip in money to make us do that karaoke.
What about shaving the beard?
So at $1,000, I will shave my iconic pubescent beard.
No,
cool.
You won't do
pubescent.
It.
No, I'm sorry. I will not shave this.
Ryan
will shave this.
Another man will shave the beard off of your face.
And another $200 above that,
yep.
We will glue my beard shavings onto Ryan's face.
We didn't say glue necessarily.
With honey or
it
with
just has to be
stick?
On my face.
I think a glue stick is the way to go. We're not going to super glue it.
Glue stick would be fine.
Yeah, glue
super
stick.
Glue,
I mean, it's not going to be ridiculous.
I think honey would be absolutely your
I don't think honey, because it's going to drip. A glue stick is fine.
I'm with Kyle.
Elmer's glue
wife.
Stick. But Ryan will wear my beard for the rest of the podcast, or the
so
stream,
what if
I should say.
Fall off?
That happens.
Sticking them on?
No, that happens.
Might.
He
but
can't, he can't control that.
At $1,200, whenever we hit that, I do that. So if we do it an hour into the stream, that means...
That's what is fucking happening. Please.
Yeah, you guys are awesome for doing charity.
Please don't.
That's
thank you,
amazing.
Laura. We're trying, you
that's
know.
Truly amazing.
Listen up, idiots. This is your spoiler warning. Also, you might get offended, so warning for that too, you idiots.
Hello. My name is Kyle.
My name is Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form...
Experience Grind podcast.
Man, we made Laura laugh with that one. Or she's still laughing at the break.
The scream? Is it? Yeah. It's the scream. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We get it. So to those uninitiated and unawares, when we record without sound engineer Andre, our signal to when he should start actually listening to the audio is one of us will scream very loudly so that it peaks. like that. But Ryan did it away from the mic that time, just to give you a taste.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, we are joined again by Ryan's lovely wife, Laura, who is giggling at the fact mm-hmm. of her husband screaming like a madman to yeah. reasons she didn't understand until just now. So,
you guys for having me again.
Oh, of course,
it.
Laura. I think you're more like than both of us combined on the show.
No,
so.
No.
Yeah, I'd like to see those facts, too.
Ryan doesn't believe it either. I don't know.
Nice of you to say.
I know both of your mothers like the Laura episodes a lot.
They may be listening to all the episodes. We don't really
know.
Yeah,
we don't know.
So hi, Laura's mom and Ryan's mom. I like you.
Real careful.
I like
real
you both careful. A lot. Even, I've not met your mom yet.
You've not met Mary?
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever met your aunt.
Yes, Aunt Sarah.
Aunt Sarah many times. Mm-hmm. Aunt Sarah's a cut-up.
She gets out and about.
Yeah, she has a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy that. So.
Yeah.
But I've never met your mother. I met Pam the one time, but interacted with her many times. Pam's a fantastically lovely lady. Hi, Pam. Mm-hmm. I hope you're listening.
Yes, hi,
this
Pam.
This is Kyle.
Probably is.
I think I even offered myself to be adopted by her at
one
point.
Yeah, I think she took you up on it after my poor choice of Stephen King movies.
That's
apparently.
What it was. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I like the subtleties of Carrie. Okay, yeah. That's fine.
That's what it was.
That's fine.
You know who doesn't get subtlety?
It is De Palma.
You know who doesn't get subtlety? Is sound engineer Andre.
Ooh.
Secret message coming at sound engineer.
Make fun of him all the time for it. I flipped out on him on a plane once because he got like 20 minutes into drive and then shut it off. And it was like, it was the third time I watched it. And I was like, you know what, man? You don't get subtlety.
I knew where this is going.
So now that's the Andre joke that I make out of
it. It's a good segue, though, because, you know, we have like the same actors kind of laying down some of the... Ryan Gosling
arguably another subtle movie that this time sound engineer Andy loved, it seems like.
Yeah. And he's not here to talk about it, unfortunately. But also another movie where Ryan Gosling acts like a robot.
Yeah.
Probably for good reason.
It's for better reasons than this one, yes.
So what are we talking about? Which movie is this?
Well, actually, we'll be talking about two movies today, guys.
What?
We'll be talking... We haven't done this since the early days of Experience Grind. You remember those?
The last time were probably the Star Wars episodes.
Where we talked about multiple movies in one episode. Yeah, you're probably right. But we're going to be talking about Blade Runner and Blade Runner 2049. So there's no fucking intro question, nothing like that.
And spoilers.
Oh, yeah, of course, spoilers. If you haven't seen the original Blade Runner by this point, I don't know what you're doing.
That one will be very flippantly spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to hold back.
Nope.
I'm going to try not to be too spoilery with 2049, but you might get something you don't like.
Yeah.
If you've not seen it. And at this point, you should have seen it.
Yes.
It's probably out of theaters.
It probably is, unfortunately.
It didn't make a ton of money, unfortunately.
Which is sad, but honestly expected.
Yeah, I don't know how they were going to market this movie without really being able to market this movie.
You know, because even though I just introed and said, you know, if you haven't seen Blade Runner, I don't know what you're doing. This 2049 was made for giant fans of the original Blade Runner, which there's not tons of.
Just bring up the fact that, like, we're doing a lot of reboots nowadays, and for the most part, I have really just sick hatred about reboots.
I do too.
And
we've talked about this before.
Yeah. So, a lot of movies do not need to be remade, but what they did here was not a remake. It's not, you know, it is another chapter in the story. 30 years when the first one took place, and it is bringing you something totally new, stuff that's, you know, in line with the themes of the first one, but it's not, it is its whole, like, own new great thing. And so in the world, I don't know if people, as far as marketing it, if people thought it was going to be, like, too much like the old one, or are we getting reboot fatigue, or maybe it's not enough like the old one, and people, I don't know, it's hard to, like, I wish we would get reboot fatigue.
I think what it is just... Blade Runner, the original, is one of those movies that everybody likes to talk about, like they've seen and they know a lot about, like famous albums like Beatles albums, or even like famous books like
Fahrenheit 451,
that Slaughterhouse 5. Yep. I'll go with my nihilism angle. Anything by
Nietzsche.
You know, they like to talk like they've done all these things. but they haven't. It's like this weird social, like, oh yeah, I know Nietzsche, or oh yeah, I've listened to all those Beatles records, shit like that. It's like, oh yeah, I watch Blade Runner, I love Blade Runner, when they haven't even fucking seen it. But it's like this, it's one of those things that, like, it's part of the cultural norm.
You put the poster on the wall, but you're not actually, sure, like, sitting your ass. Yeah.
And so many other creative people.
Or maybe they have seen it too, but they still don't really get it or even love it. But they will, because that's what's expected.
Sure, exactly. That's what I'm getting at. And I think part of that too is so many other creative people list Blade Runner as like one, like, oh yeah, Blade Runner, huge influence for me. I know it's a huge influence for Hideo Kojima. He fucking loves Blade Runner. You can tell it, especially in like the early Snatcher stuff. But, you know, it's just one of the, it's like a cultural thing that people lie about.
But I don't know why this sort of movie shouldn't have captured audiences. You've got Harrison Ford, you've got Ryan Gosling, you've got Jared Leto, you've got, you know, I mean, what's, you've got Denis Villeneuve.
Villeneuve.
Okay. But
Danny V.
Danny DeVito directed Blade Runner 2049.
All these robot girls, they was good whores.
Whores.
But I mean, what's not to...
This toe knife is a replicant.
So the thing with sci-fi is that sci-fi, while usually culturally and socially relevant, often doesn't perform that greatly.
Really?
That is one of the trends at the box office.
You know, we've loved Guardians of the Galaxy.
But that's more action-y, popcorn-y. Really good and really sci-fi.
Speak to our time.
Yes.
Like, Blade Runner kind of points out a lot of issues. Like, especially in Blade Runner 2049.
Good sci-fi is used as good social commentary, too. Yeah.
A bunch of eco stuff.
Yeah.
Earth looks like complete shit. They left it to go to the moon.
Mm-hmm. And, like, Starship Troopers is a big fucking farce on the military-industrial complex. Yes.
Idiocracy.
And, yeah, Idiocracy.
It's like a comedy all about pointing out how dumb our fucking system is.
We're talking about,
and it bombs.
The movie.
Nobody has
the movie
faith in it.
Crowd's ability to be interested in and digest sci-fi specifically.
Ooh, you know what it is? I mean, well, think about it. I'll put it this way: you have a Netflix queue, right? On your list, you have fucking dumb comedy one, you have dumb action movie number two, or you have 2001 A Space Odyssey.
You're gonna watch
and like
both
one's
those
a
two.
Classic and one's probably better than
and
everything else there.
It.
Which one are you gonna pick?
Yeah.
Which one are you gonna watch? You're it's not good. Gonna most people I don't think pick 2001 right away.
Or
I think they'll pick the dumb,
like,
quick, forgettable.
It's like
thing.
A really rich food that you can only have like a little bit of, like, every once in a
and
while.
I'll give you that.
The
too.
Other aspect
yeah.
of that, again, we're really getting to 2049, but it's also like a 2-hour, 45-minute long movie. It's a fucking big investment of your time.
It turns people off, like subtitles and stuff. There are a lot of, I guess.
You know, I don't know, because Infinity War is going to come out, the new Avengers movie next year. It's going to be probably 3 hours. It's probably going to be as long as Blade Runner, if not longer. And it's going to make shit tons of money. So I don't know if it's necessarily the running time.
It will also have a lot more happening in it. While Blade Runner has a lot, Blade Runner is what Ryan and I would justify as a slow burn. And I'm talking about both of them.
I like seeing a long movie. I feel like I get my money's worth, and I feel like...
I used to feel that way.
In some cases, like, maybe they could trim more, but now anymore, I feel like, you know, what was the movie we just saw where it was kind of sad? Like, I was like, there's a director's cut in here that we need to see later, but we missed it. Where it just felt like, Kingsman.
Oh,
so
yeah, the Golden Circle.
And I was like, there's a lot of stuff, which was, that's a whole nother thing, and I'm like endeared to the the first one so much, but it's like I was like, I feel like they took probably like the director. There's some jumps in plot a little bit, or just stuff that's glossed over.
I think he Matthew Vaughn said the original Kingsman Golden Circle cut was like 3.5 hours or some shit.
Well, and that didn't
and Fox was like,
me,
we're
though.
Not gonna do that. No, it needs to be two movies. He's like, I'm not gonna make two fucking movies out of this.
But
so
I mean,
then he
but
cuts
at the
it down,
same time though,
like
watching
it,
I'm like. I feel like there's a bigger movie that got lost in here somewhere. So, like, when I see that there's a longer
Channing
running time...
Channing Tatum was originally supposed to be the bad guy.
Oh.
In the first
in Golden Circle.
Oh, I didn't
really?
Know that.
Yeah. And he was supposed to be the turncoat, not another person. See, I did a spoiler block there.
Spoiler.
You're welcome. And I'm drinking, and I still did not spoil that for you guys.
Yeah.
So you're welcome.
Thank you.
But... let's just get into Blade Runner,
the original,
the 1979. Is it the late 70s or early 80s?
I believe it's 80s.
Is it early
80s? I think it's even earlier.
So let me just admit that I was basically a basic bitch before a month ago, and I had not seen all of it.
You're one of those people.
Well, yeah, but like that was on my list of things to see, and I think like at the time it came out, I was probably too young for it.
Yes.
And then I didn't go back to it, you know, in a timely manner. So, so I think that's part of it that, you know, I was a little too young, and by the time I was old enough, it was just, you know, it was kind of forgotten about. But so we before seeing the new one, I went back. We made a point to watch it so we'd be fresh.
I think as most people who were seeing 2049 all did, because I did the same.
Or I'd seen pieces.
Of people I went with all had watched Blade Runner again within the week before we saw 2049.
Yeah,
a bunch of people at my work who don't typically go to movies very often, they also did the same thing. They watched Blade Runner right before in anticipation.
So, like, for the original, I enjoyed it. I think it was a lot more understated than what I anticipated, having heard so much hype about it. And, you know, just it being given so many style points. Like, I still give it a lot of style points.
It has fantastic style points.
Yes,
What's crazy is that visually that movie holds up still today.
Yeah, it still looks really good.
What I thought was so interesting, too, about the technology, there's certain things that they do where you're like, oh, like we kind of do that today in technology, but they can't pinch and zoom on a screen.
Yeah. Like, the way that he like handles that
the
camera.
Left, the enhanced right, scene that takes zoom in, 5 minutes for him to zoom into
like,
the picture.
Pinch and zoom,
and
pinch
also
and zoom.
The fact that it's a picture that somehow has all this information around a corner.
Crazy resolution on this device.
Yeah.
This
and
magical
it like goes around
device.
A corner in a mirror in a bathroom. Like that's 400 feet away,
then,
and the
like,
picture, it's crazy.
I noticed that too.
Like,
I was like, is this a bad movie effect, or did they just break time with this picture?
Super HD.
Yeah.
And then I think he still uses like a payphone of some sort. So it's like we haven't quite gotten
payphone,
past the point of like, I think he's in the
in
bar
the
or something.
First
oh,
one, yeah.
I think you're right.
And
yeah,
I was
yeah,
like,
yeah, okay.
So
yeah.
As much as we can imagine flying cars,
it was a pay video phone.
Stuff,
it was like a public
yes.
Skype.
So yeah, almost. But it's so funny because it's like we still, it's amazing to think now we're
the,
walking
they
around
didn't,
with
everybody didn't have
pocket.
A cell phone.
No.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Of course, you know, I mean, how would they know that? But
that's the future though, right? It's not like thinking of how. All right, and in the future, a TV is going to be like what? It's like, no, it's not going to be a TV. Think something fucking else. Like, it's not just, oh, what kind of payphones do we have? There's no payphones, future. There's none. Yeah.
But again, so, part of that's like the writing style. And, it, you know, the original Blade Runner is very much a film noir. Like,
it's
a fucking hard-boiled detective trying to crack the case against all odds. And he's doing it himself. And it's rainy. It's fucking gross.
Dark.
Yes. So... I think things like the payphone, while they did make it a video phone, that's still something in the noir aspect of it. And the trench coat.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah. But Harrison Ford, so he was young, and we were trying to talk about like when we watched this. Was this... This is pre-Indiana Jones? This is...
This is 1982, where, so this is...
Where is this in his
there
career
is,
timeline?
There have been two Star Wars... At this
two
point.
Star Wars have come out. I think Return of the Jedi will come out after this.
Yes.
One Indiana Jones had been
I think
Raiders
also,
was out.
I think so Raiders was 81.
He was
yeah,
so
that's what
different
I think.
Then I thought maybe he's young and he just hasn't like come into like his Harrison Ford swagger, but he's so understated and gruff, but not in like the friendly like kind
in
of
in the lovable Han Solo way,
yeah,
or the vagabondy indie way. He's
and I think that's just yeah. There's not a lot of dialogue. Too much in the movie, or it's very pointed dialogue.
Yeah.
It's very specific dialogue.
I think that speaks to, like, we'll just go ahead and say, like, I don't really care much for the first Blade Runner. I think it's a beautiful movie with a great soundtrack,
gorgeous.
Great atmosphere. I think the things that have been influenced by Blade Runner, I've enjoyed more. And I think Harrison Ford is
like
one of the reasons because
almost everything sci-fi
like,
in the last 30 years, like literally.
Oh, I mean, like anything, like you think like do robots dream of electric sheep and like that kind of stuff that leads into
story,
AI
though.
That leads into Ex Machina, but it's done by Blade Runner. It's the same kind of thing. Like, The Matrix, I think would be influenced by this. Dark City was influenced by this. Like there's several things that pop up. And I always enjoyed those much more.
And Terminator, I would say
like
Terminator,
sure.
Terminator 2
yeah.
for sure.
Really,
But It's, I don't think you have really a likable character in this movie outside of Rutger Hauer.
There, so Rutger Hauer is one of the
in the first Blade Runner. I don't think there is really an enjoyable character.
Here's the thing: I was 100% with you, which is a rarity in this show. I grew up watching this movie and loving this movie.
Hmm.
I was at a very young age. Me and my buddy got into anime, and I was we were both big fans of Akira. And Akira is also heavily influenced from Blade Runner. Mm.
That's
and
a better one, too.
When we found that out, we were also like, well, we got to check out this Blade Runner movie. So we got Blade Runner, and we watched Blade Runner a lot. I was, again, like you and a lot of other people that I knew, I watched Blade Runner again in anticipation of 2049, and I had not seen it in a long time. I'm 100% with you, Ryan. It really doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
But I don't even think Rutger Hauer holds up, and I will tell you why.
I'm probably with you.
And this is... So my big complaint watching it and rewatching it, this movie is filled with overacting.
Yeah. But I don't think that's just this movie. That is a symptom of the 80s.
And I think so it was. I think it was.
Like, and we've noticed that too, going back to...
Lethal Weapon
remember.
We saw
recently.
Lethal Weapon, 16 Candles.
Almost, yes, yeah.
Well, and even like you know, we've noticed too, like, movies started, like, if you watch the Artist and those kind of things, and if you go back to, like, the real movies, like, of the, like, what is it, the 20s and 30s and stuff, everything revolved around a stage, and even, like, Hitchcock stuff looks like it's, like, Rear Window and stuff, it's stagey. Like,
and that's what's cool about Rear Window is that you go in knowing that, oh, all this was on a soundstage, and they did this.
So you watch, like, Streetcar Named Desire, and he's, like, on his knees, and I'm like, Stella!
They're like, yeah, their play is adapted for a movie.
It is a play. It's based on a play, and movies were made as plays, only now we get to, like, move sets and we have, like, real, you know, there's a few more things.
If
but...
if you want to see this type of acting still around, see any Daniel Day-Lewis movie.
Yeah, but I mean,
because he fucking throws it out there to the cheap seats in every fucking movie.
So at some point,
it's weird though, 'cause I love Daniel
and
Day-Lewis.
I think the 80s might have been the crossover where, like, we started to figure out that you don't need to, like, throw it in the audience. Like, you don't need to act and mime out things and be so demonstrative.
Well, I think the 70s kind of brought in this new designer film, like, oh, let's play around with this. And that's what Blade Runner is. Mm-hmm. But it uses a lot of actors that played that way. And they're like, so one of the
big...
But
they were like
the
marionettes.
Fucking,
like, I mean...
The fucking police chief is...
Oh, yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rutger Hauer, man, is hamming it the fuck up.
Edward James Olmos is also not good.
Yeah.
Whatever he's fucking doing. He's the one who makes
the
unicorn.
Oh, yeah.
He's the paper or the origami guy. Origami guy.
I thought with the two replicants at the end.
I like Daryl Hannah's replicant.
Yeah, but I thought so they were.
But even the older dude who has, like, the Benjamin Button disease. Again, that fucking guy.
Yeah, that
all
was,
over the place.
I'm just a kid.
Yeah.
I'm only 18.
I thought that those two replicants were behaving that way because they had just been, like, inhabiting this weird marionette toy factory. And I thought that they were very reminiscent of these, like, mannequins and puppets and marionettes almost. The way they move and the way they behave is, like, childlike. And strange.
They also are very young. They're like, they're born adults, right?
Yeah. Yes. So I think that plays into it. But it's also part of, like, I think that's all set there for symbolism. Because that's the other thing this movie does is, like, it's think of Pinocchio when you think of puppet. I'm a real boy. What's a boy versus a puppet?
Yeah.
And that's what Blade Runner, the first one, does.
That's what it came across poorly. To me, like... That's what they were going for. But the themes are so funny because, like, you know, I understand the themes. And then for a while, they're subtle. And then at the very end, and so I'm going to spoil it, when Harrison Ford's hanging off of the edge of the building and, you know, the replicant pulls him up. So after we've had this, like, knockout fight, now we're going to redeem ourselves. And, like, a fucking dove flies out of his ass. And he's like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
he also saves him by sticking a nail in his hand, like stigmata or like Christ getting crucified, to grab Harrison Ford to help. And he also is bleeding from the head.
Yeah, so then we're like doing Christ
the thorns.
He put the nail through his hand before when he was hurt. Because he's, so Roy is dying. He's shutting down. He's reached the end of his replicant life cycle. So his body's starting to betray him.
But why? why are we doing Christian references?
Yeah, it's Christ.
I felt like those were a little...
What does religion factor into humanity versus artificial intelligence?
Yeah.
Is this because of the soul? And then if so, it's not coming
across. I think the themes were like, they were already there, and it was another thing kind of like layered on top, just in case you didn't get it. Like extra things for you to like really hammer at home.
It was like a buffet of themes. They couldn't just pick one and like really hammer in. And this is why I said to you after the first Blade Runner, I was like, this is why I like Ex Machina so much more, is because it's like one theme. It's one theme.
Yeah.
No, it's because it's not because it's small. It's because they are allowed to focus on a theme and have all the characters and all the dialogue add to that theme. Blade Runner serves five different themes, so it comes across not strong in any one theme, and it just feels...
I think that muddled. Is just a symptom of the 80s, because as we're trying to impress and wow audiences with movie magic, we keep piling things on, and it took us reaching like a peak of like... A clutter in some things to like strip it back down to like analyzing a simpler thing.
I think it's partially that, and then I wonder how much of it. So a lot of this movie I was researching a lot, like the production of it was super fucking troubled.
That's what I heard after
the
fact. Yeah.
So like it was Ridley Scott directed it, but he used I think a lot of European. He shot it in England.
Okay.
But with a lot of American, like production workers. And so, like, there were all these weird conflicts with, like, different unions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made the whole process very fucking weird. And, like, at one point, all the production crew were, like, almost quit.
Oh.
And and then the movie studio, they took the editing rights away from Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
And made this other dude do the fucking edit that was the theatrical release for so long that a lot of people didn't really like anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think, I'm going to say a sacrilegious thing. Like, Ridley Scott, people love him, but the several things
I don't think
I've
it's
seen...
sacrilegious at all.
Okay, so...
Because I was going to hate on him, too.
So what I've gathered, and we were just talking about an incident involving Prometheus a few years ago, right? Was that Ridley Scott?
That is totally Ridley Scott.
So
you got it.
What I gathered...
You got it, dude.
Don't say that.
Sick Full House reference,
yeah,
bro.
So,
I know Full House is great. Check out Fuller House, Netflix.
You hate all
one.
Of these things. Get out of here.
Fuck them.
So what I gather is, and I
like
think,
cut it out.
Stop with this, right. Or I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna leave the show.
Please make your point, Laura. I'm sorry.
So, you know, I was so hyped up for Prometheus at the time, and it came
out. As was I.
And I remember, like, watching it and being like, whoa, for certain aspects of it. And then I leave the theater, I'm like, I think I like that. Wait a minute. That doesn't add up. And what about this? And da-da-da-da-da. And then it kind of starts to fall apart when you start thinking more about it. It's a vision. It's a beautiful vision. It's amazing world creation. And the character, it's like, you know, it's just this bubble of just, like, really awesome creativity. But a lot of the strings that like hold stuff together are kind of flimsy, and
Ridley,
I felt like that a little bit with maybe Blade Runner, and it's hard to tell with editing and stuff.
Sure,
too. But my biggest like thing that I literally had like a in Blade Runner the first one, I had like an ugh moment. You've got Rachel and you've got Harrison Ford, and I thought that was highly engaging in the beginning.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. Yes, and it's highly engaging. Where they're talking and they're doing the interview, and I love that scene when she's kind of like they're having that back and forth, and it's kind of like a real subtle, are they flirting or not? And then she comes to his aid, and then she's in the apartment, and this is like, I don't know, it like made me like feel like, oh, Harrison Ford, like, I don't know if I like you anymore. Like, it was so troubling to me, this scene where, like, he kisses her, she tries to leave, and he, like, grabs her, and he's like, you're mine, or something, like, really, like, forceful.
Say you love me. That's what it was. It was like, say you love
and
me.
I was
say
like,
you want to kiss me.
Is this supposed to be, like, a romantic kind of, like, man take charge? Ooh.
I think it was, but it reads very weirdly in the setting.
It does.
Yes,
and
especially since she's... An artificial
she's
intelligence
a
that has
just,
to almost take orders.
Yeah, it
yes.
feels super
but shouldn't
gross.
She wouldn't her character development be like she gets to make a free choice of her own, and that's like a really like.
And I think she does, but yeah,
yes.
I totally agree.
But it's weird. It's a weird.
And
tonally,
we disagree a lot on this
like,
aspect.
Yeah.
and so many other
That's
things.
That's surprising
but
that you feel this way, because I know I'm usually
like
much
Clark
more
Gable,
sensitive
like,
to that.
Like slapping her across yes. the cheek and carrying yeah. her upstairs, and I
well, maybe that's what it was. If this is like
I think
a
it was
noir,
supposed to read that way.
Maybe
it was.
It's
it was
like we're
the noir
do,
of
like the 40s Falcon, and 50s. Him slapping
came,
a dame around.
It came
and,
off like weird to me. That,
and it's because of the futuristic setting that it, and especially. Looking like if I was to watch the Maltese Falcon today, still I'd love it, and I would take all that shit that happens with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing
it's
it, Blade Runner,
for that
yes,
time.
But seeing Blade Runner now, mm-hmm. and the fact that it's a future set movie, it is. It's sure. like what the that
and she's
that
already,
is borderline rape.
She's
like,
already
for real.
It's forceful, and she's already kind of like
and she's confused. She comes to him looking for aid.
Yeah,
she figures out she's a replicant when she
but
the whole time she thought she was a
like,
human.
So not only is it whatever like questionable, rapey, weird. Stuff it also totally dissolves her character into nothing, and after that she is gone.
Yeah,
she does not exist anymore. So it's like woman get man, like woman gone, bye. And it was just
I don't
like,
think Ridley Scott's ever done an just, effective romance,
and then she's just gone. So what is she doing
anytime.
While he's out like getting these other replicants? Like she's just fucking chilling at his apartment, like waiting on him to get back with his big dick. Like what's going on? You know, like that's it. She's just done.
God damn it.
She's
that's
done.
Going on
her
t-shirt.
Story is now over.
What's she doing? Waiting on him to get back to the apartment with his big dick?
But that,
yes.
But she's gone. She evaporates yeah, she, completely from the story.
She serves the
basically.
Purpose.
Basically.
And
being, I think that's kind of icky, you know?
Again, and I think if you're looking at it as a film noir, it works. But if you're looking at it as a futuristic sci-fi influenced by film noir, that's when it bleeds into that weirdness.
She
like,
starts on
yeah,
a trajectory, though, as having a really interesting character development.
Yeah.
And as soon as she gets Harrison Ford, like, that's the end of her character development. Boop, gone. Now we don't care about her anymore. It was kind of icky. Like, I don't know. So that's not like yeah. I didn't
it's
enjoy that.
It's icky, and then it becomes even more of an issue.
I love
later
you both.
On.
Would you both please stop using the word icky? Jesus Christ.
Icky.
It's gross,
it's super,
at least. Please.
It's super icky.
Oh my God.
That, so not a spoiler, but in 2049. They mention several times and bring up like, oh, Harrison Ford and this replicant's strong love, and it's like,
that's
where
not
the
there.
Fuck
what
was
movie
that?
Did you watch?
Like, there was none of that in the movie.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
So I mean that whole thing, but like I think though more than anything, just like the iconic, the hairstyles, the costumes, the technology, the makeup. You know, I mean these are people. Like I was like thinking about like. I love Daryl Hannah's makeup. I was like, maybe I should try to be her for Halloween. I mean,
it's very
they're
iconic.
Memorable,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. they're just so beautiful and creative.
Yes.
And so that is really,
I think that
sticks with you.
Be applied again to Ridley Scott's entire mm-hmm. career as a movie maker. He makes things that are iconic, very memorable, very, very stylish, and very good
yes.
looking and clean. Like,
yes.
he did Alien, and we all remember,
yeah.
like, the big moments. Like,
yes.
he did Prometheus, he did Gladiator, all beautiful films. Some, you
I
know,
forgot about Gladiator.
Up and down quality. Martian looks
really?
Amazing, like,
didn't
great.
He did Gladiator?
He did,
that was
yeah,
really
Scott did Gladiator. He also did
Are
Kingdom
sure?
of Heaven, he did The Counselor, which was a fucking dud. Like, that's the thing, he goes all over the fucking place. But the one thing he can do... visuals.
Yeah,
he can always
stunning.
Do visuals and atmosphere.
Here's an unpopular
His stories
opinion.
And themes, hit and miss.
We lost the wrong Scott brother.
I agree. You know, Tony
what?
Scott. All right, so Ridley Scott lucked in, I think, to some A's.
He captured lightning in a bottle with
a
Alien
and
has written a lot of that.
Been
Gladiator's bitty is really fucking good.
Right?
Yes.
I didn't know that was him.
There's some high marks for Ridley Scott. But Tony Scott was... Did Ridley Scott... Wait, real quick. Did he do the Robert Downey Jr. crime one with Woody Harrelson and...
I am not sure.
I don't think so.
Natural Born Killers. Is that
no.
Ridley Scott?
No. No.
Who's that?
No. Not Ridley
Who did
Scott.
That?
It was neither. Hold on. Let me look that up.
That
Natural
movie
Born Killers.
Seems like a Ridley Scott movie to me.
No.
It was Oliver Stone.
Yes.
Thank you. Fuck him,
yeah, and
by
no,
the way.
Oliver Stone movies are very...
I don't
Oliver
think he
Stone.
Even has quality. I think he is by the source material.
That's
Ridley
one of those
Scott
movies
has
that...
visuals. Tony Scott was...
Is a fucking
was
great
the
filmmaker.
Man on Fire is fantastic.
Yeah.
He did Man on Fire, Deja Vu, the Domino movie. He did some... a bunch of I'm forgetting so many of them.
I don't. They don't pop out.
He fucking did
visually.
Top Gun.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
That's Tony Scott.
That's it.
Tony Scott's a fucking great director, man, and he's dead now.
You're right. You're right. I don't think he pops. Ridley Scott will pop, but he also has some shits. Like, I don't think Tony Scott made a bad movie. They were always
at least watchable. Yeah. He has some really great hits, and then some of them are just like, eh, but you'll still watch it. He did some fucking great stuff, man. He did The Fan. I love The Fan. He did Crimson Tide.
Did Tony Scott do True Romance?
He did do True Romance.
See?
Which... You know, that Quentin Tarantino was like, hey, man, you can do this one or Reservoir. And Tony Scott was like, I'll take True Romance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
That's what a lot of people talk about.
The switch the other way. Like if Tony Scott did Reservoir Dogs and Tarantino did True Romance. I think that might be more appropriate for the two directors.
I think everybody kind of agrees that way.
Yeah,
but
I would have
even
loved
I think Tarantino was like,
Tarantino.
Yeah, we should have maybe flipped those. But
totally. Yeah.
Man, Tony Scott, though, such a fucking great wheelhouse.
I didn't know they were brothers.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know
Tony
about
Scott,
Ridley
like,
Scott
fucking
much.
Killed himself. It was suicide.
Aww. Yeah, maybe within the last 10 years.
I think it was, like, 3 years ago.
Was that recent?
Really soon.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
I wanted to come back to, you guys talked about Daryl Hannah. I think she is my favorite part of Blade Runner.
She is the most, like, ethereal, robotic... Like, I think she really embodies a really interesting thing.
I think she's interesting because we don't know about her.
Yeah. Yes, and here's the thing. Maybe
she has that iconic makeup, too. The black bar across the eyes. So many fucking people have adopted that.
Like, I was even thinking that new Mass Effect Andromeda, one of their characters.
I know Marilyn Manson used it a lot in like the 90s. It's so fucking iconic, and it's cool, man. Yeah. It looks
but
really
sadly,
cool.
Sadly, I'm going to say
me
too,
and my high school photos. Yeah.
I'm not trying to be like crazy feminist person, but like Daryl Hannah does her little thing and kind of blips out, and we got the men duking it out at the end. Like again, like, you know, I don't want Mary Sue's in my movies, but it's like...
Oh, God damn it. Don't use that
I had to
word.
Say it.
Mary Sue's exist.
Like the word,
if you
want
to deny
evening.
It, they do exist in certain things. But there's all also right. Tom Sue's, too, or whatever the fuck you want to call
it. There were, like, a lot of Mary Sue's in the 90s. I think we've, like, gotten away from a lot
is
of that.
Is it Larry Sue? It should be Larry Sue.
That works. I would argue one of my favorite movie characters of all time is a Larry Sue, and that's fucking Neo, who just... Through magical computer programming becomes the absolute best thing ever. I get it. It can work, man. It's fine.
True. Yeah. But,
I'm not knocking it.
But anyways, I do find it interesting that the two female characters in this movie are like, blip. Like, they just are like, I don't know. I feel like they didn't, neither one of them lived up to, like, a full potential. They were, like, cut down in a fledgling state. A little bit, you know.
I will agree, but I will go even further, and I will say nobody had any arc in this fucking movie. Nobody had any character development, and they were all woefully underwritten. I think the closest one was Rutger Hauer.
Yeah,
and they
which
went
they
too
poofed
far.
Out a bunch of themes in the end.
Yeah,
and even Rutger,
ass.
His best fucking moment, he wrote himself,
Hobo
which was his.
Is that true?
Yeah, that speech at the end about
Hobo with the Shotgun is a great Rutger Hauer movie. Yes.
It's one of Mandy's favorite lines, by
the
way.
You know.
She
Here's
talks about constantly selling her hole on the street.
Winner.
Which the fucking hooker classifies. That's how she's caught.
That's
how she fucking describes being a hooker. She sells her hole on the street.
All right, talk about Rutger Hauer's
Can we potentially make a Hobo with a Shotgun episode? Where we do the Oops All Berries things, and we're out of it. And we just have Laura and Mandy.
I would
host,
really enjoy that.
Where they talk about Hobo with a Shotgun.
I'm
and we're
fine with
it
that.
On the episode.
Yeah.
Oops All Berries.
It's an Oops All Berries.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love Hobo with a Shotgun.
I'm down with that. I'll pitch it to Mandy tonight.
Nice.
That would be great. So
she can sell her hole on this podcast.
Fucking A.
Well, she's going to have to get paid in Bitcoin, though. Is that okay?
But no, so like his whole speech about battleships burning off the in the orbit of Jupiter or whatever, and
sure,
all these memories lost like tears in the rain. That's actually a fucking awesome speech. I love that part of the movie. I think everybody does. Mm-hmm. That was all Rutger Hauer. It was this whole fucking convoluted speech they wanted him to say, and he's like, "No, I'm gonna do this." Fucking kudos to you, Rutger Hauer.
Perfect. Yeah.
I love too, like, the athleticism of the replicants, and I thought that they really, like, brought that into the new movie too.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's really just amazing. It's really cool. I enjoy that a lot.
I want to get into, I think we'll get into it more in 2049 because, not only that. So, like, Blade Runner, it's very ambiguous if Deckard is a replicant or not.
Yes.
And I don't think 2049 explains that.
It doesn't answer any question.
No.
To which the whole Ridley Scott final cut, making sure we are questioning if he's a replicant or not. What does it fucking matter?
I think the final cut...
It means nothing.
I think it spells it out that he is if you follow the director's cut.
The final cut indicates he is. Yes. But again, it's like, what does it fucking matter? It's irrelevant to where 2049 goes.
There's arguably some
irrelevant to the main story. Like, isn't it cooler? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I think the cool idea in that movie is...
Is Rachel
worthy of, like, is she a human? Does she have a soul? Is she more than just, like, a piece of robot? We know she is a replicant.
Yeah.
But is she more than that? Like, is there humanity to her?
And I think
that's the interesting question, not like, am I a robot or not? Like, no one fucking cares.
And that's what I think too. Like, in a
more personable, like if Han Solo ended like Return of the Jedi, it's like, is Han Solo might be a robot? What? I'm fucking interested, but I don't care about Deckard.
I was like, he might be a robot. But okay, so can we launch into 2049?
Well, I think before we do,
we should rate Blade Runner and we'll wrap up.
And then we'll have a bumper and then we'll come back in for 2049.
Get new music in.
God damn, we do. That's the whole thing.
So good.
That's the only reason I did this episode, so we can show off that music.
I wasn't sure where you're going with it, but I was going to say something because I want that new music in here.
Of course.
Yeah.
All the new.
2049.
Because the fucked up productions of the original, there's like three different soundtracks to the original Blade
Runner.
But
in summary, and this is where, like, I feel like it's not fair for me to cast judgment from 2017 because I didn't experience it when it came out at its time, and I think that it was probably head and shoulders above a lot of things.
It is, and I think that's why it's still iconic.
Yes, and so...
I disagree with Ryan. I see his face.
I do.
I think it was ahead of its time in visuals and style.
Yes, visual,
that's it.
Style, like, thinking about the future, like, innovativeness. But as far as, like, you know, that, I guess, I don't know. For me, it was like, I don't know. Maybe I'd like to see, like, the roles of women and robots, like, you know, maybe a little bit more. We're in the future, but we're not that, like, in some ways, these movies feel like they're from the 50s. So, like,
and again, I wonder how much of that is the film noir aspect of
it. Maybe it is. He was sticking with that theme, but I'm like, feels like, you know,
and that could be me making a cheap excuse too. Because I don't fully know, but
I gave you the dick. Now your story's done. Go back to the kitchen.
I think it's the film noir aspect, and I think it's also, again, it's really hard to predict the future.
That is very, very
because again, you can't account for everything that's gonna happen.
No, so it was interesting in some ways. I felt, I guess, in summary, like, I felt the technology and the style and the visuals were, like, really, really amazing. I felt like the story and the characters, not the story as far as, like, plot points, but I will say, like, the character interactions were really not very modern in a way that surprised and kind of, like, disappointed me.
The overacting is, man, it really affected me this time. But because we're stupid, we don't have a new rating system.
No, we just do the random one each time. So out of 9 Blade Runners,
I give it 6 dog buttholes.
No, you guys. Okay.
What?
Well, so on a scale from 1 to 9 Blade Runners,
what is
no dogs buttholes are allowed in this one.
Oh.
On a scale from 1 to 9 Blade Runners,
9 being the best.
Blade Runner. 9 being the best. How many Blade Runners would you give Blade Runner?
I mean, it is Blade Runner, so shouldn't it get all the Blade Runners?
No, not necessarily.
All right, so out of 1 to 9 replicants.
There we go. I like that.
6.
Okay.
So that's positive.
Yeah,
6
that's positive.
Okay.
It's not the worst.
Positive. All right.
I'm just making sure you meant that.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, I would give this a 7. But I'm also going to come today. I'm coming right down with Laura. I'm going to give this a 6.
Holy shit. Somebody better call Satan because we got 6, 6, and I am also going to give it 6. I thought you guys were going to be much lower.
No, I still really like Blade Runner. I grew up with it.
It deserves a lot of credit.
It has a place in history. It has a place in film history.
I have
it's cinematographically beautiful. It's a fucking fantastic film that's marred by a few small problems. But overall, especially in the appreciation and representation of sci-fi, you cannot exclude Blade Runner ever.
Yes.
So it's a cultural piece. It's a fantastic piece. It's a good movie that is marred by some small problems that get amplified, especially viewing it through the viewing lens of current year.
I am all over the place with agreement and disagreements with what you said.
Okay.
I agreed with some and disagreed with others.
Sure.
Yes, no,
okay.
Yes, no, yes.
Love it.
No.
Summary, one sentence. I think it is a fine movie. It is not great. It's not even good, but it is just captivating. I don't know. I can watch this movie. It's very fucking watchable. Like, I think as soon as you start to analyze it, it falls apart.
Sure.
And if you don't, you'll have a good, fine time.
That's what
Scott movies.
That's what sucks. And this thing that we do now is that so many movies I like analyze, and I'm like, well,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Whereas earlier I'd have been like, yeah, man, fucking Blade Runner, it's great.
There are movies to analyze and there are movies not to analyze. But this is a movie of higher standard.
Yes.
And it begs and deserves analysis. And it must be held to the same standard as other movies that are of equal caliber.
God damn
like,
it, Laura.
You don't fucking analyze
is this
like
the part
Adam
of the fight
Sandler
where we clap?
Movies.
No,
like, you know, you just watch them and you eat some popcorn and you
yeah,
go,
they're
like,
fucking bullshit. Turn your brain off popcorn flicks like
whatever.
The Taken series
don't
with Liam Neeson.
Them. Like we know we're not.
You know what
to.
You're getting into.
But this is like
this is like The Gray with Liam Neeson, where there's
the
a lot
gray.
Of things. Oh, I know. I love The Gray too.
Yes,
it's
this
a fantastic
is
movie.
This is of more substance than most movies. It deserves. To be held to that standard
yes.
of others.
Yes, and in some aspects it meets those standards, in some aspects it falls flat on its face. Which, again, here's my final saying. Blade Runner is art, and not all art is the greatest. Sometimes it falls flat in its messages, and parts of its message come through roaring and blazing. So
it's like from the senior art show.
Okay, sure.
Well, I think as I learn more, too, like you realize, like, I think the older... Or the more you get into movies, you get a little... I get a little jaded because I realize all the conflicting... Like, you were talking about the unions.
Oh,
and, like, production. And director wants to do this. Actors want this. Studio says cut. We're trying to pitch the movies.
My thing is...
You get a lot of different hands in the cookie jar. And stuff gets messed
That's a cool thing to look at. My thing is I get a little jaded because a lot of... If you watch a lot of movies, you realize how fucking similar so many movies are.
Yes.
And that's what's a fucking pain to me. Like, God damn, like, oh, you're doing the same fucking storyline I've seen 400 times. Oh, I can predict that twist coming, which it's funny because Ryan, I predict twists fucking within the first 5 minutes. And he's like, what? How did you see that coming? And it's like, dude,
it's
how did you not?
It depends on the movie. Cause I can turn, if the movie is engaging me just right, like I am not thinking anymore.
Sure.
Like
I
am just like
ride. Like I try to seek out movies that I think are going to break that.
I do too. That's what I look for in movies. Like I want this formula twisted
because
I've seen the formula 100,000 times. Give me something new.
I got something new for you, Kyle. It's called The Greasy Strangler.
Ew, no.
If you haven't seen it, this is a real thing.
If you haven't seen it.
Oh, God.
It's 80 minutes of batshit crazy.
It's
fantastic.
You have me on board so hard.
It's like an 80-minute Tim and Eric sketch.
Okay.
Why are you pitching
this? But told from like a thriller.
It's hideous.
Number one, because I think Ryan knows me, and I think Ryan knows
fucking weird.
That I'm going to probably like it automatically.
It's hideous.
The Greasy Strangler, I'm going to check it out.
The Greasy Strangler.
We didn't want Andy to watch it for Trailer Sailor.
Yes.
Okay.
I will have to say I did learn of that. From the Red Letter Media crew, so credit there. That's where I learned a bit.
Fair enough. Yeah. That's where I discovered Samurai Cop, which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Fucking right.
I love Samurai Cop.
Yeah, they're good.
So anyways, so we're going to shut
the
fuck up.
On Patreon at patreon.com/redletter media.
Support us on Patreon.
Support us, we're smaller.
Yeah. Fuck those guys. Give us your monies.
Guy.
Man, Laura, you're the best. Why don't you have your own podcast? Holy shit.
I said we like I'm part of this.
You are.
I'm here on the couch tonight.
You, I think more than anyone, you've been a guest more than even Brooks.
No.
Oh, it's close.
It's very close.
For you guys,
it's close.
Bro. Yeah, it's very close.
Yeah, what have you done for us?
I think it's Laura, then Brooks, then Nathan.
Yeah.
Which Nathan hasn't been on forever, man. That dick
it's
hole.
Been a while.
Nathan, you
Did
asshole.
You say that dick?
Come down from South Bend and
give
get on the show.
Give him a rating of four dog buttholes. buttholes.
You do have four dog buttholes. It's your two eyeballs, your mouth, and your own butthole is actually a dog butthole, Nate.
Did you see that Taco Bell is releasing the four dog butthole chalupa?
I did.
It's coming soon. But it's only going to be 99 cents. That's the fucking kicker.
That's the fifth butthole.
That's the
That's what it is. Anyway, hey, we're going to shut up about dog buttholes. And here's some music from Blade Runner 2049, which, spoiler alert, has a fantastic soundtrack. And we're going to come back and talk about the movie. Yeah.
Make sure you clean yourself up afterwards.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Back, and that was some fantastic fucking music from the movie Blade Runner 2049.
Oh my god.
I fucking mush mouth it, so I go around with this. No, that's terrible. We've been drinking a little bit, everybody. Surprise.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. This is our new co-host, Crack Mouth Billy.
He's the fucking worst.
I got a mush mouth over here.
I got a little mush mouth. That movie. It's a good movie.
You know, it was just lots of colors. I loved it.
So, I don't think you get the full aspect, and this was something that sound engineer Andrew and I talked about today when talking about Blade Runner 2049, is in a theater, this fucking soundtrack is cacophonous. It is loud as shit.
What an amazing word.
Yes.
And yeah, you like that? Yeah. Thanks. I just pulled that out of my ass a second ago. But it is. That's a perfect descriptor.
It is. Yeah.
Because it's loud as fuck, and it comes in, and it scares you a couple times. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's where we were sitting or what, but it was so loud at certain points, especially.
It was loud where I saw it, and I didn't even see it with you guys.
During the final confrontation in the sea.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear some of the words. It was that score was just so loud. But
yes,
we saw this separately. I have to assume in different theaters, different times, but I had the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
The sea, and when he flies into the junk city.
Yeah.
Super fucking loud. And also, I think Vegas, it's very drum heavy at a point. But
so So should we do a little quick summarization and catch up for, like, okay, so the new one is 30 years in the future?
Yes, after Blade Runner, the original.
Yes, which was 2019.
And one of the things that, like, I was glad I watched the original Blade Runner, because one of the things with the replicants in the original was that they only live, like, 4 or 5 years.
Yes.
And
I think 3 years is the max.
So... Mm-hmm. So that's their fight, is that they want to be given a longer life.
Yeah, they
want to
live longer, which that's the fight of everybody. Which
but they,
is part
but
of the
they
thing with
don't let them live
appeal.
Long because it lessens the risk that they'll rebel
and go rogue
and, like
and their superhumanly strength.
So
and,
the new one, we learn that they have made replicants that can live a full lifespan, basically, right? And I'm assuming they age. They do age because we meet one at the very beginning that is.
He's got gray hair.
What's his name?
It's Dave Bautista.
Yes.
David Bautista.
And so he.
I.E. Drax the Destroyer.
He's
Did
a
you
replicant.
Say David Bautista.
Oh, David. Dave, yeah.
I believe
David,
he just goes
Dave.
As Dave.
Close friends You're call him David.
Dav.
I'm sorry.
Dav. They call him David.
David.
All right.
But,
so.
But so he is a replicant that is a mature replicant. He's lived a full life.
A very long life.
Yeah. And so that's kind of a new thing that the new movie brings, is that we have aged replicants.
Yeah, because I believe they even insinuate that he's of the replicant model just after the Roy series, where like they did decide to give them longer lives, and he's at least 30 at this point.
Oh, at least.
I want to say the Model 9 is the one that is the one that lives forever now that are the
slaves.
Yes,
because I believe Roy was a Model 8.
Yeah, okay. I think.
So
I'm not entirely sure.
That's a little bit above my technical.
This is all kind of described real quick in like that opening text scroll.
Yeah.
So
slash three short films that came out before.
So we meet Ryan Gosling and we learn immediately that he's a replicant. And I remember reaching over to Ryan and whispering to him, I'm like, this is Ryan Gosling's character from Drive.
She
and
did.
It's perfect because in Drive, he's also a replicant. Like,
and I was like, shh, we're at the movies.
As I said earlier, this is Ryan Gosling's second robot performance, and he's refined it from Drive.
Oh, I think it's more than his second robot performance.
Yeah.
He's had a few.
Well,
as anybody who has any familiarity with this podcast knows, I fucking love Ryan Gosling.
Drive.
Kyle, did you see La La Land?
Yeah.
He was dreamy in that movie,
Dreamy in everything.
He was quite dreamy. Yes, yeah. But
I was much more attracted to him than Emma Stone.
Where he brings Emma Stone and Steve Carell's daughter in that other rom-com shitty one?
Crazy Stupid Love.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that one too.
I did not see that. Why have you guys seen more chick
flicks
than me?
You saw it in Korea with me.
I don't remember that.
That I believe that you
don't
remember
it. I don't know if I've seen more chick flicks than you, but I will tell you why I've seen that chick flick.
Because Ryan Gosling.
There we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, a chick flick with Steve Carell, and it has me intrigued at the very least.
It's weird, like, as a fucking 100% straight male, goddamn, I love Ryan Gosling. Like, he's super fucking attractive.
Yeah.
I love his acting.
But
I love everything about that guy.
He, like, emanates a command about a situation that's really, like...
I'm fucking so on... Like, I will watch
anything.
Girls want
him. Guys want to be him. Like, it's cool. You know, he just has a coolness.
James
Dean coolness.
Very much so. You fucking got it right on the button.
Is it weird that everything you're saying I feel about Seth Rogen?
Yes.
Does that speak to me about something?
None of that is true about Seth Rogen.
Oh, no, that's not true, dude. I would hang with that dude. He seems super cool. He seems like he'd be like a great lover. Like, he's like very funny and like into it. And like, he's probably very appreciative.
But he's not gorgeous. Like, Seth Rogen is an ugly
dude. No, but he's like cute.
I don't feel like Seth Rogen's in command of a situation.
No, Seth Rogen's always in command of a situation. He just plays it off so well that he makes you think he isn't.
Who would you rather embrace you?
Paul Rudd. Oh, I'm sorry. Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd just popped out.
Fuck off, Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
It's Paul Rudd.
Yeah. I was going to say, who would you rather embrace you, Seth Rogen or James Franco?
Franco? No. It depends. I think Franco would be weird and shitty. I think you would have to do things with Franco.
I think Franco could be a little bit of a whiny bitch. You'd be like, Franco,
there you go.
Listen, this one night stand's over.
Yeah.
You need to go home now. Go.
Yeah.
I don't want.
Seth Rogen would fucking tough it out.
If it gets name dropped, I want it beeped. But I would just say, James Franco reminds me of one of your ex-boyfriend.
Oh, really?
I think. Do you know who?
I think maybe.
Okay, I think you do too.
Shh. I'll tell you later. Starts with a
D. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Franco? Volatile.
But also a little kind of dreamy, but maybe there's a lot going on behind that.
Maybe.
You know? Anyways,
back to Paul Rudd.
Yes,
Seth
Paul
Rudd's
the greatest.
It's Paul Rudd.
Paul
Rudd's who I would say. Paul
kind of
Rudd,
situations
the
with
dreamboat.
Comedy,
like
though.
I just can't not
like,
love
Paul
Rudd.
Paul Rudd uses
Paul
comedy
Rudd.
To defuse a situation. Ryan Gosling uses calculated violence. That's like, ooh,
yeah.
Like,
the guy who uses calculated comedy is much more sexy and appealing to me than the guy who uses calculated violence.
I'm of the opposite. Man,
women, I don't understand them.
Maybe I'm not 100% straight because goddamn, I love calculated violence too. Holy shit, girl, you got it. Fucking right on point. Like, goddamn.
I think
give me that violence.
Nobody is straight in this room without we're talking about anything that is not Blade Runner 2049.
I think anytime Ryan Gosling gets brought up, nobody's 100% straight because.
So okay.
So anyways, so we've got all that out of the way. Let's talk about Blade Runner 2049.
So I would like to just say, I'll go ahead and come out with it first, that I was stunned and mesmerized, and I absolutely love this movie. I think it is masterful in its cinematography, in its sound, mixed, like the way the sound accentuates a scene. I thought all the actors did a really great job. I enjoyed the story, and it's not a muddled story. Like, it's like a breadcrumb trail where they give you clues, and it's like one at a time, but it leads you to where they want it to take you. It's not super like back and forth and complicated. It's a very linear story.
But what I love about it, and I'm glad you brought this up, is that it's one of these that follows a hard rule that I have with movies, in that it gives you those breadcrumbs and it gives you the answer, but it shows you. It doesn't tell you. It doesn't have this fucking character that's like, oh, well, he shot those proton torpedoes into that exhaust vent and that blew up that star, like blah, blah, blah. It shows you, and it lets you come to that realization, which is great fucking filmmaking. So, thank you, Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah.
Denis Villeneuve. Villeneuve.
I'm sorry.
So Denis did Sicario, and he did Sicario.
Arrival, Prisoners, Enemy.
He's done like all of my favorite movies.
I haven't seen all of those, but
I love Enemy. I love Prisoners.
Prisoners is my tops. I love
Prisoners. He has a reputation for being absolutely solid.
Yeah,
and
he did Sicario too. Like,
Sicario is fantastic.
This dude does not fucking fail.
What I told Ryan after we got the movie, I was like, this movie to me feels so tight.
Yeah.
It feels...
Even at 2 hours 45.
It feels like... Yeah, it really does. Because then I think it's that linear, like, breadcrumb trail. Like as soon as we're starting to, like, we get a new thing, and we get a new thing, and it just keeps you invested. A lot of stuff, and we actually had, like,
some
heated discussion.
I'll jump in, and I'll just say real quick.
Because
you have
disagreements.
I don't think it's tight. I don't think tight is the right word to describe this movie. I think it's so tight. Very simple and focused. It is not a tight movie, because it is a 2-hour, 40-minute movie.
It is a slow burn.
What could be accomplished in an hour.
I did have a couple of questions that I'll bring up later. But no, like, that's the thing. Like, we need to live in their world. And so, like, Ryan Gosling, you meet him. And they reveal early on
he's a replicant.
Yeah,
yes.
it's a spoiler or whatever. But so it's like, we're not trying to have a mystery about it. He just is. So
it immediately separates it from the first movie too, because the big mystery now is the main character a replicant or not? That's just immediately gone in this one.
So we get to see behind the scenes of his life. And I think what I also loved about this movie is it is a sci-fi movie that showed me things that I have never seen before in a sci-fi movie. It showed me a relationship with a holographic character,
really,
which was
crazy.
Highly compelling.
That's
and
my
beautiful.
Favorite scene of the year so
All
far.
All of that with,
That's
with
fantastic
his
imagery.
Holographic like girlfriend, his
Is
AI.
Is it Joy?
Yeah, Joy. J-O-I.
Oh, yeah. And so that was amazing. That was absolutely stunning. There's things there's some things in some of the action pieces. I know when he goes over to see the orphan, like, village, and he gets shot down with a harpoon with, like, an EMP.
Oh, that shoots the EMP blaster?
Yeah, and, like, there's a lot of stuff that
EMP,
it's like...
They, like, throw a kite up and it gets struck by lightning.
That's what I
really
thought it was.
Really fucking cool try. That was
so,
a cool trick.
So there's some really neat things that are really
innovative.
It was
innovative. Like the Dark Knight weather balloon that attached and then got struck with lightning, and then that shut his vehicle down.
So there's
much
really,
more intricate than just an EMP.
Really neat stuff.
Which is why it's cool.
Really neat stuff with the development of replicants with Jared Leto's character. And like, I loved his, he's a blind character. And so he's got these like little like drones around him that are kind of acting as sensory. And, you know, we talked about a lot of the rooms where he meets, you know, Ryan said that they're dark and they have water in them because they would enhance the echo for a person who's blind. So it lends itself these like small things that you realize about a character that
real
are really
quick.
Neat.
I listened to a podcast too, where they were talking about that stuff, and they said more than just that, it also goes to show, like, it's like this big ego display too, because those rooms are filled with water, but you hear like Ryan Gosling's character can't only take but like a water bath with like 99.9% of the shit out, and it's just like that quick 2-second, and then the shower is done. Like, water is so scarce. On this planet, and Jared Leto's character is just flashing it in your face.
Well,
like, this is how important and wealthy I am.
Not only that, so like, It's obviously the year 2049. Blindness is cured, and it's obviously a choice that the Jared Leto character has to continue to be blind. He's like, it's a flaw and it's a weakness in his humanity that he chooses to keep.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is very flippant.
Yeah, and it helps him to develop and understand the robot. Yeah, he's like, you know what? I am a human. I am flawed. But I am also God. I will create the perfect
being. I have so many other like skills at my disposal.
Yes.
It's
a cool thing that I like because obviously he could just get fucking new eyeballs instantly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even in Blade Runner, the original, there's the dude that's making fucking replicant eyeballs.
Yeah, that's true.
He could easily get new eyeballs, but he chooses fucking not to.
So,
to embrace that part of his humanity, that flawed part.
That's interesting. Mm. I love this new movie because I think it takes a lot of the same themes. And I love seeing, like, there's a point when Ryan Gosling, he's a cop and he's looking, you know, he's looking.
I'm sorry. He's not a cop. He's a Blade Runner.
He's a Blade Runner. I'm sorry. That's true.
Jeez.
So, gosh, I'm amateur hour here. But like, he does the same zoom in. Two to the left, four to the right, zoom in, you know, this many click, like, and it's the same as like they pull a lot of the Harrison Ford stuff in. They're still interacting with technology in a lot of the same ways, but also in really new ways that, like, I was just like, that's so cool. I've never seen that before. That's really interesting. We still have like the Tokyo kind of consumerism like city that looks very much like the same setting,
and it's still in the same universe, like in this universe that Atari is still thriving.
So,
and what was there was like some there was another corporation that was in this movie that's been like dead for 30 years now. It was like
I can't remember.
It was like some flight company.
Okay.
And I can't think of what it was.
I can't remember either.
Fuck. But all right. So anyway, but like Atari, like big prominent display, like they're doing great in this imagined future from the 80s, but they're still carrying it on. They're not trying to fix it because. So I kind of dig that.
Yeah. Like,
this is like a whole alternate reality, and that's just what it is here.
Yeah,
I love that.
So at its core, Blade Runner 2049 is a fucking huge love letter to Blade Runner.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it improves on every aspect of that movie.
I think it does too.
I agree 100%.
It's much tighter, at least in comparison to the first one. I think it's a super tight movie. But so, like, the linchpin of the movie, the driving factor, spoiler here, in one of his. Is this okay?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I'm waiting to see what you're talking about.
In like Ryan Gosling's first. And he's not even. He doesn't even have a name for the first part of the movie. He's just a number. For his first case, he finds evidence of like a buried body, which they learn is a replicant. That
not only a replicant,
it's
spoiler,
Rachel.
It's fucking Rachel.
Rachel
from
the first
Blade
one,
Runner,
and she has given birth.
Yeah.
So then there's all these questions. We're like, how can a replicant give birth? And if Harrison Ford was a human, did he mate with a replicant, get married and all this? Or were they both replicants that were able to actually have like a baby? So
even if they were both replicants, then does that mean that the baby born is with a soul? Does it? What's its place?
Is it?
And what is the purpose of
the
soul?
So this is what kind of starts to cause Ryan Gosling's character to go haywire a little bit. But it's so subtle, you don't see it. You don't see it on the surfaces, but you start to see little hints and inklings that stuff is like not right with him in his thinking, and like he's not. He's not at baseline, you know. He does these like tests and stuff. So you start to see that.
I really
he's,
like that test.
He's getting
too.
A little bit like off.
It's a nice kind of reference without being like a straight ripoff of like his test to Rachel in the first one. It's that same kind of pattern.
As a big Blade Runner fan, I'm drunk, so I'm blaming. I can't remember the fucking name of it.
Like, oh, the test. Oh, I wouldn't fucking know that.
But anyways, yes. So it's like a new. Again, it's a new variation twist on it, which is. Everything.
It's fresh.
Yes,
but it's
2049
reminiscent. It's
but
not
it's,
the same thing, though.
And it's not detrimental. Like they
this,
have to do this every
this
time.
This is what makes a beautiful, like in a time
and
where
it also
like
doesn't
we have like
rewrite what came before either.
In a time of like remakes and all this stuff, we have this fatigue. It's like this is what a good one does.
Yeah, of course.
This is what a good one does. It borrows. It doesn't borrow. It takes the source material.
You're getting closer every time.
Yes. So, I mean, so I love that, but there were little... So, and this is kind of where Ryan and I disagreed. Like, Ryan Gosling in the movie, his character, there are little tiny touches of him changing, and it's very, very, very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that was very intriguing. It's like, you know, seeing a little light through the end of a tunnel that you want to come closer to. It draws you in. Where for Ryan, it just was like, I think, kind of alienating and not, it's too cold, you know. But the whole movie is meant to be cold because it's a movie about robots and submission and people who are kind of like the society that's been sort of, you know, beat down into... you know, a sort of, I don't know, all the rich and like all the other people have gone up to another planet to live. So what we were left with is kind of the dregs of society still, and rebels and things like that. People that are kind of, there's a few rebels, but most people conform. It's a lot of conformity.
I want Ryan to address this.
Yeah, I think and I then, should since I've then, had words put in my mouth here.
And then I want to.
Yes.
Deposit what my feelings and interpretation of this movie are. So
yeah, I'm very interested to hear this. Yeah, okay. Laura and I have definitely talked about this one because it's a movie that you see and you can't not talk about it because,
again,
there's stuff to unpack.
Just to interject, this is the worst part I feel about having a podcast with you is that we don't talk about these things until we do a movie about it. And that... so badly,
even,
so many
even
times
other,
I want to talk to you about
even
things.
Movies we don't cover, we don't, just in case, just in the rare chance.
So many things I've wanted to talk, I mean, like,
Baby Driver
it.
Got brought up tonight. It's like, I really want to talk to you about fucking Baby
but
Driver.
But I know we're not,
point,
because we haven't done a Baby Driver episode, and we're going to. Aww.
And that's fine, because that brings about the other Edgar Wright movies. I'm okay with that. We should probably do another Scott Pilgrim episode, just to really get into it.
Of
but,
course. But anyways, please.
Blade Runner 2049. No, what Laura said was pretty much all correct when it came to how I feel. It is, oh man, I feel like I'm in the minority here because I see people either really love Blade Runner 2049 or hate it and just completely not like it. Well,
hate it?
I've seen reviews online where people just don't like it, don't gel with it.
You still can't deny
really
it's
don't.
A beautiful, like, well-crafted movie.
Some people do, and some people will say it's boring and all this stuff.
Mm.
And that's fine. I am in the minority in that I think I like this movie a whole lot. And that's it. Like, I've not been able to cross that barrier. There's something keeping me back from really embracing this movie, and I think you're right. I think it is attributed to, like, the very subtle, cold emotion. They just really withhold so much emotion.
But there is...
And then give you a little drop. And then they give you a little drop. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm not saying that at all. I know me. And me as a moviegoer, what I like is J.J. Abrams shit. Steven Spielberg shit. Where it is very, like... heart on the sleeve, very kind of theatrical. Like, I can go back to fucking Blade Runner.
I am not like that.
And I do kind of like the Rutger Hauer performance. Like, I do dig that.
I'm not like that.
And I know. And I think that's why you really respond to this movie, because it is very, it is of a tone emotionally.
You see growth in the characters. You see growth.
It's
weird to me.
Very subtle.
It's weird to me
so
to hear you say that, too, because I love... J.J. Abrams. I love Steven Spielberg.
Or Sam Raimi, like that kind of stuff,
but
too.
You and I also agree where almost everybody disagrees with us is that
a lot of slow burns.
You and I love slow burn movies.
Absolutely.
Which I think this is one of the best slow burn movies. And I think you're going to disagree with me here.
I think, though, the slow burn movies you like have a huge emotional outburst and culmination
at
the end.
I think this movie does, too, but I'll get into that.
I don't think it does. And I think the big ending, it is very subtle. It is very underplayed.
It's important, though.
And I know, honestly, you know what I think it is, too, now that I'm kind of talking this out with you guys, is I also think it's the soundtrack. Like, I love this soundtrack. But I think the cold synth really takes away a lot. Like, I'm thinking, like, you put Michael Giacchino in here and do, like, a fucking score from Lost, and you do that same fucking shot of Ryan Gosling at the end, and the camera pans up on him on the steps, but with, like, the music when, like, Ben walks back onto the beach in season 5 of Lost, I'm fucking crying. And I think it is. I think that's part of it, too. Just something here that really leaves me cold.
It's almost more emotionally impactful when you don't when it's still like, it's like sad. It's like a kid that's taking baby steps, but he's still like stunted in his growth and he's never going to get fully evolved.
Like, who, Ryan Gosling's
guy? Yeah, like he developed, but he will never have the chance to.
No, I mean, he died essentially doing the right thing. He died for a reason. He died for a cause that wasn't himself. He didn't have to. And that was
his big payoff. It's a big gesture.
And again, it's I look at this and I see all this. I
think
connect
that's almost
this.
More powerful
I
to,
understand
to
this.
Do that without a bunch of but high does, fives and pats on the back and like
sure, sure. And
like,
that's again
recognition.
Again, great. I'm glad you enjoyed this. I'm not saying this is bad. I've never said this is bad about Blade Runner 2049. I think it's good. It's not for me.
Yeah.
This is a movie that just didn't click with me, and I recognize this is a masterpiece. Like, I got, once we were at the theater, I was like, that's a fucking masterpiece film, Kyle. Like, this is great. I texted you right away. I was like, yeah, fucking masterpiece. Classic.
I think I texted you beforehand. I didn't want to embellish you, but it's the best movie I've seen in years. I still don't agree with that. That's fine.
I think it is a sci-fi classic. I think it's a shame people didn't go to see it. I think it deserves praise. I hope it gets award recognition.
Yes.
Is it my movie of the year? No. Is it in my top five? Maybe. That remains to be seen.
But what you're saying is, like, you recognize it.
I recognize it is brilliant.
Film.
It is so good.
It just didn't
There's
strike
just
your
something
chords.
That doesn't make me ever want to go back to it. Like,
really?
I don't have the...
I almost think maybe
I don't
you should
want
watch
to.
It again.
I wanted to go immediately back and watch it again in theaters.
I did not get that feeling.
I would have
and,
loved
so, and that's why
well.
I was like, why is this,
Ryan? Because
I
think there's a lot
why?
More things, like what you guys were saying about, like, Jared Leto and, like, the display of wealth by, like, being like, I'm blind and I don't care and look at all this water I can have and all this stuff. Like, I think there's a lot more that you would get from that. And I love to, like, okay, so there's a scene when there's a couple of really poignant scenes with Ryan Gosling where at some point he is made to think that he might be the child that Rachel gave birth to. And there's
that
some,
he is special, not just another replicant.
Yes, and so there's some, you know, other misdirection and kind of things like that. You know, there might have been twins and other things like this, but he goes and visits a person who makes memories and it's the only emotion he shows in the whole movie. And he
flips the fuck
he
out.
He screams and people were like, why did he do that? Like what is the point of that? And it's just like a child having, I think, like a tangent. Like it's just like the first, like the strongest amount of emotion he's ever like on the scale. It just looks like bubble, like a pot boiling over. It's like
I think it's also realizing he's not special. It's a slap to the face.
But no, at that time in the memory maker, he did think it could be
him. At that time, he's not special comes in when he's captured again by the resistance of replicants.
Yeah, and then
at that point, it's because, oh shit, this could be me. My world's fucking done. Because
like,
my world was easy.
Different.
I get to go to work and not have conflict with Robin Wright's character.
But he's not
now
satisfied.
This is going to change.
I think that's why that was really amazing.
Speaking to the technology, because this is what you brought up earlier being so cool. I loved her little memory box in that scene as she's making the memories. And it's like this little weird accordion piano thing.
Yeah,
and she twists it around and she gets the details right. And it's just this really weird detail, and it's not quite like how most people would picture that. Like, Kyle, make like a memory making device.
Like
you're not
going
to think like a little accordion with your hand. it's just an interesting way to go about it that I loved. And I love just like those memory making scenes too.
And just a lot of it was just really subtle. And he ends up finding Harrison Ford's character. And
2 hours into the movie.
Yeah, and they make a connection, and Harrison Ford's there, and
Hour
you know 45. He's
is
great.
It?
Is it? But there's a scene where Ryan Gosling redeems himself by going and rescuing Harrison Ford's character from the grips of Jared Leto's number one replicant, who's super strong.
So, I want to interject here.
Is her name Love?
Yes.
So the whole reasoning and Jared Leto's entire motivation here. Is that he has adopted... So in Blade Runner, we didn't talk about this, but the original creator of the replicants is killed by Roy.
Mm-hmm.
He is dead.
Wayland?
So, yeah, not Wayland. No, Wayland is from Alien.
Which one's the other guy?
It's not Wayland or Yutani. I cannot remember his name.
Continue then.
So Jared Leto comes in. He's a businessman. He buys all the stock and he continues the endeavor of creating replicants. What 2049 sets up is that in Blade Runner, the original creator of replicants had figured out they could reproduce sexually. Mm-hmm. And he wants to do that because he sees it, number one, as a money saving device. But number two, Jared Leto has obviously a very big God complex and he wants to create life and recreate in his image. And he wants to have this power over people. So that's his entire motivation because he figures out that Rachel, as a replicant, could replicate and she could create life. And so he wants Deckard because Rachel is dead, spoiler alert. So Deckard is another key to this, and maybe he can take them to the child, which, of course, Deckard can't. That we find out because he has no idea who his child is. Mm-hmm. That was always part of the plan, was that he would abandon the child and not have anything to do with it. Correct. Yeah. Because they know that it's kind of this MacGuffin, this holy page in the Bible, like this is what everybody wants. Mm-hmm. And if replicants can procreate, like, it changes everything. Mm-hmm. So, I wanted to interject that, and then I've got my points to make. So
there's a scene where Ryan Gosling. So I guess what I really also enjoyed about the movie was you have really amazing CG. You have really amazing practical effects.
CG, and that does not call attention to itself at all.
Like it's the great kind of subtle. CG, like with the. The love scene with his holographic girlfriend, I thought that was amazing. But
pinning that because I'm coming back to that one.
Yes. Scene of the year.
Yes, but not then the great, but in the like one of the final scenes, he's fighting this other replicant while Harrison Ford is like chained to a chair, and there's
scene of the year.
That one.
That's so fucking good.
Okay, so kind of a little squirrely offshoot here. My dad. My dad made us watch a movie last year, and it was an old-timey movie, and it's based off of a Ken Kesey book who did One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It's called Sometimes a Great Notion. And it's,
horrible fucking name for a good movie.
It's like okay. It's a really good movie. Yeah. I mean, no, it's probably 1970s, but it maybe is a little older.
It's Paul Newman.
Paul
right?
Newman's in it.
Fucking love Paul Newman.
Super young, hot Paul Newman. And it's about a bunch of loggers in the Pacific Northwest, and there's unions and all this stuff. But anyways, there's a scene where Paul Newman's brother gets pinned by a log in this river. And he's like, hey, there's like a big accident. They've had all this stuff. They're loggers. And somebody gets their arm cut off, the dad or something. And the brother's like, it's okay. Like, I'm just pinned under this log, so just go take care of so-and-so. Like, I'm fine. Well, the tide water is coming up. And so this guy's pinned under this log and he starts to like slowly like
I've seen this
get
scene.
Like pinned under this log and drown. And it is the most like beehole clenching, edge of your seat like thing I've ever seen on a film. And it is just like it's horrifying.
Agreed. And this Blade Runner scene does not even come close.
No, I disagree. But, I think it does. Yeah, having not seen that movie, I know what you're talking about.
And it's like, okay, it's just practical effects. We're just talking about like water coming up by millimeters.
Yeah.
And like that kind of shit just like, it just like makes my blood run cold. It scares me. It bothers me. And, but it's amazing. So it's like in a movie of like high technology and sci-fi, that we have such an amazing, like, practical effects scene that is so engaging and so... And, there's an amazing scene where he chokes that other replicant and... Or, no, she's choking him. He's out of the water, but he's without air. And she's underwater being held under. And so, like, they're both, like, suffocating, although only one of them... It's just, like, a really simple, basic...
That chick
amazing,
replicant, by the way,
scene.
Is maybe my favorite part of this whole movie, even with Ryan Gosling.
Agreed 100%.
Holy shit, she's awesome.
I thought all of the fight scenes were like that.
All of them,
of them were
how
very
kind of
grounded
one?
And practical.
Yeah,
like,
none of them are.
No, they
so
were,
even the
I'm
best
saying...
fight scene, I think, is Harrison Ford and Ryan Gosling in Vegas with the whole
yes.
Elvis motif
oh,
going
yes.
on
yes.
behind it.
But I guess
where Ryan Gosling doesn't fight him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and but I think in a movie that can flaunt its CG strengths in the fight scenes, it chooses to do things that are more like practical and visceral, and I love that.
Well, it's the noir story, right? This isn't an action movie. This is not the point of it.
It's the struggle.
But
so
in so many movies today, though, it could just be
they would have made
they
it
could
all
have.
Over the place.
Yeah. But yeah. Denis Villeneuve
handled in
would have not
hands.
Done that.
Yeah,
and I love that.
He's very much in appreciation
that's classy.
Of.
That's classy
you can tell
shit.
He loves Blade Runner and he wants to do as mm-hmm. much as he can mm-hmm. to replicate. Ah, you see that replicate? You see what I did there?
It's close. Yeah.
So. I don't want to hype myself up here, but I want to do my little spiel here.
Please
but,
do. Please. I do want to hear your thoughts.
Ryan, out of every episode, I want to ask you, what of my analysis do you think is your favorite slash blew you away the most?
What do you mean your analysis?
Of all the movies we've
of
talked
like
about.
Of like things you've uncovered that I was like, oh my God, that's brilliant that I didn't think of, or like, man, I really respect your opinion there.
Both of those.
What I don't typically.
Just which one... Just which one stands
which
out?
Because
I think
the most
I think
impressive.
I have mine, and I just want to set this up.
When am I most impressive and glorious? Because I'm about to top it.
I don't think I'm going to top it, but I think we're both on agreement here.
I think you're going to say Spring Breakers.
I am.
Of course you are, because it's recent.
It is, but I think it's also the one that I kind of made you really reevaluate. But I don't think.
No, I'll say maybe I didn't show as much, but what's the drug movie with Johnny Depp? I can't think of it right now.
Blow? Or Fear and Loathing, the actual
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. That's a movie that I went into when you said it was in your tops that I was not super jazzed on. I thought, fine. But talking with you, that really elevated
me. Sure. Okay.
Whereas awesome. Spring Breakers, well, like... Oh man, this is a brilliant movie. And then you're like, oh man, this is a brilliant movie, but for a different reason. So like, I really didn't have growth in that movie.
So I don't. Maybe I shouldn't have led with that because I don't think this even compares.
Shoot yourself in the foot.
Maybe. But so to me, there was one big thing that Blade Runner 2049 played with, and that was this interaction between the living and the mechanical.
Sure.
And it shows you this fucking theme repeatedly, but then it also has this nice twist with the mechanical and the virtual, which is so we've always
with
known
joy.
Yeah. So we've always known the human and the robot. And then they take it a step further with the robot and the virtual reality. And that even adds this whole nother fucking great twist to this already fucking fantastic thing.
The servant to the servant.
Yes. Yeah. No, I don't even think it's the servant to the servant. It's just it's experiences because Joy also experiences things, but she's in
kind of,
she's even
like,
in a smaller box because
does she?
Yeah,
she does.
But does she? Or is
I think
she programmed
she does.
That way?
I think she does because of the interactions. I mean, we only see her with Gosling.
That's it.
But I interpret it and I get the feeling that she is adaptable and her interactions with Gosling would not be the same as if you and I had a Joy machine.
No.
If I had a Joy,
same, but I think the AI in that universe is
what you want.
Yeah, I think that AI specifically is what you want.
Exactly,
most.
But it would be different for you than it is for me,
different.
And it's different for Gosling.
But
it's adaptable.
Is it genuine?
I think it is genuine because it's from Gosling's heart.
Is
it's
it
from
genuine?
Your heart. It's
or
from my heart.
Or is it because
heart.
You, as
she's
a
like
movie
a
viewer,
but,
do you want it
but
to be
what
genuine?
Is not more genuine than what you want?
It's, what the other person wants.
But they're not a thing. And that again, is playing off this mechanical
what?
And real. So she is a complete virtual creation. She is not real. She
her.
Doesn't
I thought
exist.
You were talking about real life.
No, but I'm saying... What you want is your most base thing. What I want
but
is completely different, but it's my most base thing,
well,
and she plays into that.
I think, though, there's two different, like, reactions in the human nature. There is what you want that you won't admit to yourself, and you're not being truthful to yourself, and what you lie to yourself about
to
make
fit
you,
in.
To fit in or make yourself feel better. So there's, like, two sides of that coin.
I have and, a much darker take on
but
Joy
I mean,
than
she,
this.
What is your take on Joy?
He sees it that she is a pleasure bot.
Yes.
I don't see her as a pleasure bot to him.
Yeah,
no.
this is the sad future we are heading down, where we can't take criticism, we can't experience new experiences. We have to have somebody and something that just gives us exactly what we want. That's so
and
super sad and cynical.
Our
yeah, like relationships are all about... A compromise, a half happy, if you will, you know, it's this give and take. And in the relationship between Ryan Gosling's character, who I don't remember his name aside from Joe, which she names him, right?
It's Joe.
And Joy, there's no relationship. It is a servant pleasing a master.
She's an echo chamber.
And regardless of his feelings towards her, it is. It's that. What does Ryan Gosling do for her? Except for give her the ability to move, which is ultimately so he can just carry her around with her. That is a sad... sad indictment of where we are heading.
I disagree, because I think even if she is programmed that way, her main function is she wants to also, her happiness comes from the combination of the two of them. She's not happy when Ryan Gosling is not home and interacting with her. She's just sitting and waiting. It's this weird,
like a
symbiotic.
Dog, and it's sad. It's sad.
I don't
but
see
I
it that
you
way.
Mean, like
but
she does
that's
show...
also not the basis of my point and
yeah,
what I really want to get to.
You real hard.
You did.
A bit
sorry.
Of evolution.
Yeah. So many times in this movie, it shows us the reaction between.
She's snoring hard.
Your dog is snoring.
Real
yes.
hard.
So many times this movie shows us the real life and the mechanical's interaction with the real life.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts off at the very opening scene. We're at this farm, and we have a replicant that is farming insects as a protein source. But he's interacting with real things. Even the fucking ending in this movie is, god damn it, it's so fucking beautiful.
He's
because,
interacting with real things and also has like a tree held up that he's kept in place, like the only living thing.
Even though it's dead.
Miles.
Yeah, it's
dead.
Like
he's trying
but
to
he's
hold
kept
on
alive.
To this living thing.
But the fucking ending in this movie where... the real person who has these fucking diseases that she can't leave this fucking bubble is experiencing fake snow. And then we have Ryan Gosling as the robot outside experiencing the real snow. Mm. And they both are experiencing the same thing in different ways at the same fucking time.
That's neat.
God damn it, Denis Villeneuve. Yeah. You are fucking so amazing. I love you. You son of a bitch.
You lost it more.
That
you are so
really
close
cool.
to the pronunciation, and now it's just
I know.
Gone.
I'm drunker.
Really
I'm drunker.
Cool
it's fine.
Like that,
yeah,
those are
that's a great touch. Yeah,
but
I agree.
She didn't really have diseases.
I think she did.
Oh, no. I think her
I
family,
thought it was
I think
a
the
lie to get her
lied
there.
And put her in there to protect her.
I think she was fucked up because she was a creation that wasn't prepared for yet, and she didn't have the ability to exist in the world in that sense. Like
I took it as like a total cover, like a front. For
see,
her.
The cover was in because she was totally outside of the bubble when she was in the fucking
in the orphanage. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she was smaller than all the other kids, and she was sicklier.
I think it was a cover. I thought that's how I interpreted it.
I didn't see it as a cover. I saw her as a new breed that wasn't ready for this world, similar to.
Huh.
Not Mars Attacks, but what is the Tom Cruise movie everybody hates, but I really like?
The Mummy.
Not The Mummy. I hated The Mummy.
Is
War
it
of the
War
Worlds.
Of the Worlds?
It is War
you
of the Worlds.
You hate it?
No, I love War of the Worlds.
Oh, I love it, too.
I think it's fucking
Me
great,
too.
But
yeah.
So many people hate that movie, and they're fucking...
Kyle, oh my God. We have similar opinions. Let's start a podcast.
I know, it's weird.
That's
here's
great.
A hard Cruise. If you don't like War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise, you're fucking retarded!
I think go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself. That movie's fucking awesome.
You idiots.
You idiots.
Ding dong.
Oh, you ding dong.
You fucking ding dong idiots. I love Oliver, but man, War of the Worlds is a fucking great movie.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yes, queen.
Holy shit. Yes, queen. No, I'm trying, man, and it sucks that I'm kind of fucking whiskey deep in this because there's so many different times that Denis shows you all these different variations in the real world and the human interpretation and the mechanical interpretation and how they're fucking coinciding. Like when you're in fucking Vegas and you have all these dead statues and then there's a fucking beehive in one of these statues. So many of those. This movie is just fucking laden with them. It's fantastic.
I think it's amazing. And this is like Ryan and I actually came home and had like a bit of an argument.
We had a fight.
I couldn't understand. I was
over
like,
fucking
what
Blade
do you
Runner.
Mean you didn't like it? What do you mean it didn't resonate?
Because of this
What's
shit.
Wrong
because it's
with
like
you.
Like, I like this movie. Why
you
are
didn't
we fighting?
Like it
I like this movie. I just didn't love
I mean,
it. I like it.
We differ in opinions and other things, but like I couldn't understand because I felt like. What's so crazy? It's like the sadness of being able to like peek, but not see. And it's like it gives you a little bit, but like it's not, you know, and that's just like it's kind of tragic in that sense that like he got a little bit of like what a week's worth of experience and what it feels like to be human. But that's like not enough. Like that's really sad. You know,
I also,
and that's like really powerful to me.
I don't
like,
think Ryan Gosling dies at the end. I'll disagree with both of you.
All right.
I think
he
you
doesn't
both
die at the end.
Dead,
that's
dead.
A fucking cop out.
He's totally dead.
He doesn't die. But I think he will get rescued and reformatted.
So
and he will still lose everything. It's similar to death.
Here's one of my issues with this movie is they should absolutely not do anything with the sequel. And I don't,
oh,
want
I don't
to
think
see
there should be another one.
So, Harrison Ford and his daughter.
This
on.
Is a perfect cap to a fucking fantastic series of movies.
I think so.
Yes,
I don't think there
yes.
need to be any more
so
Blade
that's,
Runner.
That's
now.
What I was going to say.
Yeah.
Like, where from here? Like, do we need to go on?
Nope.
I don't think we do.
Nope.
And we had seen the movie with a friend and... Mm. He was kind of like...
Also, I'm done with the Harrison Ford as deadbeat dad trend. Let's stop this. This is now done. This is too many.
But I mean, was your friend was kind of... Like, we were talking about this. It's like, okay, like, I'm happy with the ending. Like, I don't need to see a replicant versus, like, human army. I don't need to see the rebel uprising. Like, I don't need to see it. What happens
the
with
Terminator
Harrison Ford and his
Rise
daughter.
Of the Machines where
I don't need to see
war.
That. Like, I'm just going to
make salvation,
my own...
Salvation.
And that's a beautiful movie that you can make your own ideas about
another,
what's going to happen.
Another...
And we've seen those themes and templates already.
So I talked about this movie is very laden with the human and the machine interaction. Another nice twist that they do is the Jared Leto character. We've talked about him a couple times, but he's very fucking machine-like. And I tell you who he reminded me of in this entire performance was Agent Smith from The Matrix.
Mm.
Especially when like he encounters that one that's just been born, and it's almost like he's like, you are a virus. Like this, mm-hmm. His whole interaction with this character.
You want to know who he reminded me of?
Who?
The one of the creatures from Galaxy Quest that were human. You are our last hope. That's how he talked.
Yeah, not. It was very much Agent Smith
you
to me.
You are special. We will have
it, see,
an
it,
army.
You're doing it dumber. Do it more serious, and that's an Agent Smith voice, and that's how I took Leto.
Mr. Anderson. Oh, my God, it is that. You're right.
You are a virus, this humanity, this thing inside you. You know he left
me
before giving me the final key to this question, which is, can you reproduce this thing in your stomach? Let me slice it open. That's very fucking whatever.
It is.
Yeah.
Again. It's a very cold performance.
Yes. It's and it's robotic and it's implied, but he is living. And again, it's all these fucking meshings and it flows. Oh.
Ironically, the most human performance in this movie, Joy.
Yeah.
Everyone else is cold and robot-like.
She wants.
They are robots. She's an AI.
Well,
she's
some of them may or
like
may not
humans.
Be. Like Jared Leto is not a robot, but he acts robot-like.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford, maybe. Who cares? He might.
I think he's
like
a replicant.
Robot.
Spoiler. I want to get into this better.
Is it?
Put a key in it.
Okay.
Again, I don't think it matters.
I have a couple of questions. So I told you this movie was very, very tight. That I thought it was. But then there's a couple things.
Tight
that,
as in like movie time or tight like, man, that movie's tight, yo.
Like both.
Okay. That,
but,
that
I agree on the second, not the first.
But okay, I had a couple questions. Like, okay, for instance, if Harrison Ford is a replicant, and at the time when replicants were made and they were only 4 or 5 years old or 3 or 5 years old, then was he one of the first replicants that could be aged?
I believe so. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So then that was he's like, all right, does that.
Incorrect. Because he would have been a replicant from the same model as Rachel, who had a lifespan.
That's what I wonder.
No, Rachel did not have a lifespan.
Like,
because
the
dog, she died in the childbirth.
Like, a lifespan,
maybe,
as in her span will end.
Like,
sorry.
Rachel could have died.
In Blade Runner, the first one.
They don't want to live forever. They just want to live longer. Everything
there were
has
no
a
replicants
no, but
that
I mean,
had lifespans longer than 3 or 4
they
years
timed
or whatever.
Out. So
in
Rachel
the first Blade Runner. So if Harrison
year,
Ford was one.
And she could have lived her life.
That model hadn't been invented yet.
And in fact,
Harrison
she,
Ford was a prototype, but he was developed to hunt
if,
other replicants.
If he was. If he was. But anyway, so there was that. So I was like, he's aged. Like, was he, you know, one of the... Anyway, so there was that. There's the other thing, too, where Ryan Gosling does spend a lot of the movie trying to figure out if he is, like, the birthed boy. Like
if he's the Neo.
Yes. So here's, let me ask you this. In the beginning of the movie, when he captures Dave Bautista's character, you know, we have the old left eye, look at the black light, look at the iris, like look at the... So why wouldn't you just go in a mirror if you weren't sure and be like, da-da-da-da-da, like, you know, why wouldn't you just look in your eye with a black light with your police, your
so
Blade
wait,
Runner tool?
So I know Ryan wants to say, but let me...
I know.
Okay. Who are you asking to look into the mirror?
Ryan Gosling.
So if he's the birth replicant, he wouldn't have the thing on his eye.
But,
like, oh, the replicant.
If you're a replicant, even if you're a robot or whatever, and you
wouldn't be born with a barcode.
You wouldn't be born with
right?
a barcode.
I see what you're saying.
So all you'd have to do is like, oh yeah, I'm
Let's
totally
solve
a replicant.
This mystery and go look in
Movie's
the mirror.
Done. Damn, Tighten my ass.
I never put that together, but yeah, you're right. If he was manufactured, he would have a manufacturing serial number, which even Rachel has, which is how we figure out that it is Rachel.
So I wondered if,
this is all
I wondered
credit
about
to Laura.
This.
Yeah, good point.
Laura raises
so
me
like
and is like, yeah, you're right.
There's a small plot hole, but it's like not really a big deal.
This movie
makes no sense. 0 out of 10.
we're doing scales on 9. Ryan, if
no,
you
well,
remember
it changes
from...
every episode.
But I wondered about that.
This is still the same episode, though.
This one's out of 2049 Blade Runners.
And
how many
maybe
Blade
it was
Runners?
Just an oversight on his part, because eventually we learn that he's not special in any way, shape,
which
or form.
Which is great, but... because I felt that humanized the character, because none of us is special.
But yeah,
we're not
a lot
special.
Of us live
I'm not. You're not. You're not.
I'm tired of like the special chosen
of,
one trope. I
that's
like
part
that,
of the
and
human
that turns it on its head.
Disappointment.
Yeah.
Like.
So Ryan Gosling is obviously more human than all of us
he's
because
getting a big dose.
Fuck, man. Mm-hmm. He gets it right off the bat.
I love too when he's fighting and he like breaks that guy's back over his knee. Like, there's, like, some really awesome fight scenes.
I fucking love... My favorite scene is when he fucking bursts through a wall trying to escape with Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
And nobody's just like, oh, yeah, that's pretty natural because he's a fucking robot.
Yes.
But not even Harrison Ford is like, what the fuck? He's like, oh, yeah.
You can
totally.
Do that.
Absolutely.
And then there's also that scene with, not Joy, but Love, the replicant from Jared Leto's. And
God
she says
damn it,
something,
she's fucking amazing.
Yes, and she says something in the beginning. She says, what did she say? They're looking through the files, like, when he first starts to ask her for, like, a lead follow-up. And she says, people say that, or what did she say? Like, asking questions about somebody can reveal your sexual interest in them, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then she says, so... What do you like to do when you're off of work or something like that? Like she kind of points a question at him. So it's like, what are you angling at here? Like, are you trying to like seduce him? Are you genuinely like curious and like getting outside of the boundaries of like your replicantness and trying to
I don't think
to, like,
she is. Joy's
around?
Very, very rigid in her replicantness.
Yes. So
she's
trying to manipulate him, but it was neat.
And that's what I love too, because like Joy and Ryan Gosling are replicants of the same model series, but they're complete opposite ends of the spectrum of the way that they interpret things. And I thought, man, god damn it, I just don't get it, Ryan. This movie's so
I
fucking
think you
perfect.
Could see this again and again
this
and
is,
see new and different things and be impressed.
This is one of those movies that I thought we would be so on the same page on.
And that's the fucking thing, is we kind of are to a point, and that's it. Like, everything you guys are saying, like, yeah, I saw that too. I recognize it. It's a very smart movie. It really connects a lot of themes and characters and does a lot of good things, storytelling-wise, cinema-wise, all over the place.
I think you're right, though. It lacks the Spielberg-ness.
And again, to put out Red Letter Media twice in the same episode, like, I don't typically relate to Mike on Half in the Bag. Usually he's the one who has the voice of Mr. Plinkett. But he said he starts the Blade Runner 2049 review and he's just like, it's brilliant, it's breathtaking, it's a masterpiece, it's boring. And it was.
I disagree.
I know, and a lot of people do who really like it. It's like, this one tested my patience a little bit.
I was riveted.
Yeah, I was too.
I was not riveted.
I was
and
ready
I,
for
talk,
everything. Yeah.
And I'm not trying
to be like
a snob.
We can talk about
like
the I know and it's fine. Well, I've fucking done that for several things, so it's fine. But the final set piece we were talking about being so tense and riveting, and it's like this, no, at no point was the pacing quick enough for me to ever feel Harrison Ford was in actual danger of dying from drowning. Ryan Gosling and the other love just doing blows that don't matter because they're both replicants, and replicants are like kind of hazily defined in what's lethal to them and what's not. All of it just kind of...
I think it's kind of sad,
it's
though.
A very heady, very smart movie that is going to be great for analyzing and doing Ooh. Fucking 10-page theses on and writing. Like, it's going to be so good. There's so much symbolism.
It's
so smart.
That a powerful replicant can be, like, just drowned? Like, that's kind of anticlimactic and sad for her character.
I agree. It is anticlimactic.
No, but I mean...
But not in a good way.
It's climactic, but it's, like, not...
She didn't get blown up with the fucking rocket launcher.
Exactly.
Or
no,
like,
and
again,
it's kind of
like,
she got pushed
like,
underwater.
Also cheap, you know,
I don't want people
be.
To misinterpret that, because I think when I do speak about this movie, and this is why I had a hesitation about doing this, is people immediately jump to like, well, it's not going to be like the Punisher and a dude flips in the air and they get blown up
so.
And that's cool.
I don't think
but like
so
I think
either,
a lot
yeah.
of people would go to that way, and like that's not what
no,
I'm saying.
I know
either.
You're not like that.
It's just this is a very slow movie.
But you know
so
what I mean?
Slow
like,
it tested my patience. And I am one who was like right there with Kyle during The Witch and I fucking loved it and ate it up. Whereas every fucking else in the theater was just like, oh, is that it? This is stupid.
People are the worst.
I
hate them all.
I think it's sad that a powerful creature can die in like kind of a cheap way. And I think that's just part of life. Sometimes, like,
but that's
really,
the point. And like, I get like, it. Your point is that sometimes life is unsatisfying. But I don't want to see a movie about life being unsatisfying.
I didn't find it unsatisfying. I found her kind of just really simple death in a way, simple and like that it wasn't a rocket launcher.
Yeah.
Was poignant
sure.
and like
and a lot of
and
it humanized
a lot
her.
Of people.
That's what I think is
you
the thing.
You two included yeah. feel that way. For me. Nothing resonated with me emotionally in this movie except for the Joy character. And even then, I felt it was a huge disservice, and it fucking pissed me off how quickly he just fucking didn't
yeah,
care
but,
about her.
But by that time, as an audience, we were kind of under the impression I was that she was just
I think
mirroring
the joy,
off of his...
Yeah, the Joy disappointment, like, it's the same way, like, if your fucking best buddy came over to your house and deleted your Final Fantasy VII save that was perfect... What the fuck can you do about it, man? Yeah, it fucking sucks. Yeah, you're going to be pissed, but it, you can't bring it
I
back.
I would relate a fucking relationship. Probably the only relationship Ryan Gosling has in the movie
what I feel,
is much more than like a
no,
Final
it's
Fantasy
like,
VII
no,
but
it's like your high
so,
school
see,
that
girlfriend.
Would
be like,
I
no,
disagree.
Kyle,
no.
If I came to your house yeah. and I deleted all the porn ever and made it so you could never watch porn again, you would just be like... look over there and then just never mention it and
Joy,
walk away.
Joy to me
no.
is like, it's
no
like
emotion
high school girlfriend,
Gosling had.
And now he's actually like, he thinks he might be a real person and he's on this trajectory of
that
like,
too.
So he's
outgrown
he
hasn't met the people, yeah. but at the same
he's
time,
he's outgrown her.
Like, it's not that he's outgrown
and they didn't
her,
show it well enough.
The thing is with Gosling, he knows at the end of the day, he realizes it when he gets the fucking call and she freezes. As much as he wants this to be real, Joy is not real. She is not real. No matter how much he tries, no matter how much she wants it, he wants it. She is not real. She is a program.
And
that's why I related to the Final Fantasy VII memory card. At the end of the day, even if she gets stepped on, it doesn't matter.
I agree with that. But again, I agree fucking completely. But would you not fucking have like... Mr. Quick to Rage, you would fucking emote something.
Yeah,
Ryan Gosling emotes nothing when that's stepped on.
He's also been shot like twice, right? Yeah, he's fucking distraught and he's down.
But in this,
there are only there are like two
maybe the front door,
two fucking 10-second scenes in this movie where Ryan Gosling emotes above like a level 2 out of 10. Like, that's it. And this is what fucking is so alienating to
like,
me. It's such a cold movie.
I think find that
it is very cold. Yeah.
I know.
Because
I know.
When you slather it on, and it's like, you know, when you say to somebody you love them every day,
or
you say to somebody you love them like 2 times in their whole life, like,
yeah,
I don't Brian, know.
Again,
you know?
Different strokes for different folks. It takes
yeah.
many people hey. To rule the world.
I want you guys to know. I love you guys.
I love you.
And if you guys got stepped on with your Joy, I'd be pretty sad. And I'd rage.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
joystick.
If Kyle, if I
Holy
took
shit,
your
Laura.
Joystick.
Mind blown. Holy fuck, it is a joystick.
It is God, a joystick.
Damn it. God damn it. Why don't you have your own podcast, Laura? You're fucking amazing.
I don't know.
She does.
All right.
Get a little whiskey. What, here.
Make your final point, Ryan. And I think we got to wrap this up, buddy.
Yeah. I think that was my final point, right? It's a fantastic, brilliant masterpiece. One of the best sci-fi films you'll see in years.
Okay.
If
I totally agree.
It left theaters,
me cold.
You're dumb. Because it's beautiful in theaters.
It left me a little cold.
I like that. Oh, I think that was almost kind of the point, but we'll argue that movie
I know.
More
I agree. I think that's the point. And that's why I say this movie's not for me. This
you
movie is
like
more about logic.
A tone poem.
It's a tone poem. And it's a tone that doesn't resonate on my frequency. Mm-hmm. It is brilliant, and I can see it for its brilliance. It just doesn't speak to me, and I get why it speaks to people. It's not like Dude, Where's My Car, where it's a shit movie and I hate it, and I don't see how people like it. I know why people like Blade Runner 2049, because it's fucking fantastic.
Yeah,
I wish I was with them.
It's just not yours,
and that's it. That's it. Folk. Yeah,
Laura, please.
How many Blade Runners do you give it out of 2049 Blade Runners?
Come back.
I did love it, and I do think it's one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. And I am profoundly sad for people who did not get the experience of seeing it in theaters, because
God damn, you're missing.
That is the only way
gorgeous.
To see this movie.
It's stunning. For me, it was mesmerizing.
Or maybe
and riveting.
On a 4K television set.
I was also going to bring that up, but I wasn't going to rub it in.
Too,
I cannot.
Like,
I'm fucking buying this
it's
day
just,
one.
It's
4K,
oh, yeah.
baby.
It is. Yeah. You know, whether you're into sci-fi or not, it is a well-done classic. It's a classic remade. It's a modern-day classic. It will be a classic. It's beautiful.
Yep.
Acting superb.
This will,
colors.
Yes.
The setting. Yeah. The story is engaging. I can see where it's a little slow, but I didn't ever feel like it lagged. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like it was a good breadcrumb trail. I was engaged. And I thought some really great scenes, and just, you know, I am looking for this thing to be, if Mad Max got noms last year, like, because we're starting to break into, like, sci-fi and some other alternative movies getting some Oscar nods, like, this thing should...
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I will take this and segue. I predict this movie will win 2 Oscars.
Cinematography.
It will win cinematography, hands down.
Soundtrack.
And it will also win sound design.
Yes.
Sound design, too. Yes. Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
It is going to make an appearance.
Fucking
show.
Hands down. It's going to win those 2. If it doesn't, it's a fucking travesty.
Did Mad Max win Picture of the Year?
Did Director win? Mad Max
I think
got
Denis
a bunch
Villeneuve
of other awards.
Is going to get Director of the
he
Year.
He might pull that out.
I don't think
it'll get Best
win
Picture.
Best Picture because they
won
Best Picture. The artsy party.
Mad Max cleaned
period.
Up all the like a lot of the
it
technical
It got special
awards.
Effects. It got Best Editing, mm-hmm. and it got some. I don't know if it
so,
got.
But that is
think,
exciting to me. If
Charlie's
we
won too.
If we can start getting remember. Those kind of movies to leak into our awards.
Yeah,
well,
portfolio.
That's the fucking issue with the awards. They used to only give out 5, and then they bumped it up to 10 to allow in these other fucking fringe movies because of the Dark Knight upset when that came out.
Well,
because they're like, we're going to give
dead.
You 10
but
to
I
pick
think
Best
that's
Picture.
Okay.
But instead, they just pick 5 more art fucking house films. They don't give it to like the
but,
ones
but
that
they
are.
Should. Now we need to have an Andy Serkis CGI actor award. Or
that's a whole other can of worms.
So,
yeah.
In a scale of 1 to 9 Blade Runners, what?
No, out of 2049 Blade Runners, whenever are we going to have 2049 to use?
Between a scale of 0 to 2049 Blade Runners, 2049 being the absolute highest.
Okay, because I had Laura, the one question about the eyeball looking in the mirror. 2048.
You give it 2048 out of 20. That's a very fucking good score.
Yeah.
Ryan?
That is like an A plus plus?
No,
that's an
A
plus.
A
plus plus.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
50.
Yeah.
I gave
you
it 2048.
You could have.
What would you give this movie on a scale of 0 to 2049? Holy shit, that's a fucked up scale.
I love it. It's so stupid. I will give it 1799.
Yes. So,
I think that's right. That equates to about like a 7.5 out of 10, right?
Way to
that's
totally good. Eviscerate your own scale by bringing
scale.
It to a 1 out of 10.
That's very lukewarm.
It's a 7.5. Okay,
Kyle,
sure.
Don't show attention to the man behind the curtain here. I give it $17.99 like... Blade Runners out
sure.
of it.
Okay.
2049 Blade like Runners.
For
actually,
me,
I think that's higher than a 7.5 out of 10.
I think it's like an 8 or 9.
I can't do
yeah.
right now.
I think
Jameson.
It's too high. I think it's too high.
I have too much Jameson. I am unabashedly, in the year 2017, in this current year, I'm giving Blade Runner 2049.
A 2017?
No, I'm giving it a 2049. This is the best movie I've seen this year. It is one of the best movies I've seen in the last, like, 5 years, easily. This movie was fucking fantastic.
Better than Mad Max, Fury Road?
I really like this
better
than
Mad
Max.
Max
absolutely.
Road.
And I love Mad Max, and you
I
know this.
I love Mad Max, Fury Road, too.
I fucking loved Fury Road. I love this way more. I fucking loved this movie.
This shit is more profound.
You guys.
This shit is bigger
in the last
than
5 years, I can think of 30 movies that are better.
And that's fine. That's fine.
Or that I like better. I'll say that.
Do you hear what
I'm
saying? Do you hear what I'm saying, Ryan? I'm telling
that's
you.
That's fucking crazy.
That's fine.
That's fair.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's fair.
Man, I really love
2049. So you say this is a perfect movie for you?
Of this year and of the last few years, yeah. Out of everything I've seen, this movie fucking resonates.
That's awesome.
I think you're right.
And here's the thing, Kyle. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm not like, I'm really not trying to be the buzzkill over here.
I don't think you are. No, you're not.
But
you're fair.
I'm very happy that I'm very happy that people are loving and embracing a hard sci-fi fucking movie.
Really fucking weird sci-fi out there.
This year.
This is touching on some weird shit.
It was weird, but I thought the story was... I mean, it's not hard to follow.
No,
but
there's a lot of themes underlying.
Hard sci-fi kind of is like this very slow pace, like it's all about the technology and atmosphere movie. And I think Blade Runner 2049 perfectly encapsulates
it. Maybe it just hit us like at a right age. We were just like primed for it or something.
Maybe. I'll have to watch this in 3 years then when I catch up.
I would like to revisit it.
That's what it is.
Even though we still haven't revisited
it. I like Gremlins 2.
Even anything that we've said we would revisit, we've never done yet. But we're going to revisit Blade Runner 2049. I'll tell you that.
I like that.
So that means we're not, everybody who's paying attention. Anyways.
Guys,
I fucking love you.
Are you going to pitch your really good event you're doing this weekend?
We should have done it at the beginning, but now do it right now because we're almost 2 hours in. Let's get it in. So, hey, guys, check it out. You know, we always ask for money at the end of the show for your Patreon, but we're not doing that this time. Ryan and I have surprisingly opened our cold robotic replicant hearts to sick and damaged children, and we're doing a fundraiser for them. This Saturday, the day after this fucking episode airs, we're going to get together and we're going to start playing video games at 8 o'clock in the morning.
November 4th.
And we're going to play video games for 25 hours.
Daylight savings time.
You said 25?
Yeah.
You committed to that extra hour for us?
If we don't, we don't. Whatever.
All right, cool.
We've still hit 24.
So 8 a.m. till 7 a.m.? Maybe 8 a.m.
Maybe 8 a.m. We'll see
how
it goes. But yeah, so it's all to benefit the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, which are our local hospital, Riley Children's Hospital in Indianapolis, is a part of. We're raising money for that. Every absolute fucking cent you donate goes to them.
Yes.
We don't take a cut. Extra Life doesn't take a cut. Nobody takes a fucking cut. Everything you give goes to sick kids. It cannot get fucking easier. So don't be an asshole. Don't be a dick. Don't be a robotic Ryan Gosling. Give us some fucking money. Go check us out. It's Extra Life Experience Grind. We fucking shared it everywhere. If you haven't donated yet, I have lost respect for you as a human being. It's so fucking easy. You don't, dude. Give $10 bucks. I don't fucking care. Give $5.
If you didn't see, for your donations, you can unlock certain
achievements.
At $800, I swear to God to you, Ryan and I are going to recreate the pottery scene from Ghost.
We
have not decided who's Patrick Swayze and who's Demi Moore yet.
I was going to say, you guys vote and we'll do whatever you decide.
Yeah, if you want me to be Patrick Swayze, I will.
But
if you want me to
be
Demi Moore.
Because I really don't want to be Swayze in the back.
I will totally get shirtless. I don't care. Us get this goal.
I would love that.
Do you guys need to borrow a bra so somebody can
be
in front?
No,
does she
has.
She doesn't have to have a bra.
She has a tank top
on. It's just important that Swayze's like you know, shirtless and manly back there. Yeah. That's, I can't pull
but
that off.
But that is at the $800 record. We are almost at $400 now.
How much for a habanero pepper?
So habaneros on the day of the stream are $25 gets you, you get to choose who eats a habanero. But I will fucking tell you, there is a limit on that bullshit.
Lies. There are no limits. You give us as many as you want. We'll take $25 for each one and you will suck it up.
You're going to eat a
for charity. I'm not eating 100 habaneros. Also, we're
going
to have some guests. So if you're watching and then you donate, you can give it to one of the guests too.
Yeah, ooh, they'll eat it.
So if you really want to make that cheating Micah, take a habanero.
Also,
pepper. He might be there.
What about karaoke?
Farmer ass?
Karaoke, we're like $10 away from karaoke. We'll probably surpass that, I hope, by the time this episode drops.
What about,
if we don't have $400 by the time we start, I'm going to chip in money to make us do that karaoke.
What about shaving the beard?
So at $1,000, I will shave my iconic pubescent beard.
No, cool. You won't do it.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I will not shave this.
Ryan
will shave this.
Another man will shave the beard off of your face.
And another $200 above that,
yep,
we will glue my beard shavings onto Ryan's face.
We didn't say glue necessarily.
With honey or
it
with
just has
glue
to be
stick?
On my face.
I think a glue stick is the way to go. We're not going to super glue it.
Glue stick would be fine.
Yeah, glue
super
stick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be ridiculous.
I think honey would be absolutely your
I don't think honey, because it's going to drip. A glue stick is fine.
I'm with Kyle.
Elmer's glue
wife.
Stick. But Ryan will wear my beard for the rest of the podcast, or the
so
stream, I should
say. What if pieces fall off?
That happens.
Sticking them on?
No, that happens.
Might.
He
but
he can't control that.
At $1,200, whenever we hit that, I do that. So yeah. If we do it an hour into the stream, that means...
That's what is fucking happening. Please.
Yeah, you guys are awesome for doing charity.
Please don't. Thank
That's
you,
amazing.
Laura. Well, we're trying, you
That's
know.
It's truly amazing.
It's something we've talked about wanting to do since even before this podcast started, mm-hmm. I feel. So the fact that we're actually doing it now, I'm very excited about. I know Ryan is
so excited.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, we're going to hang out for 24 hours, mm-hmm. 25, and
Our
play
dogs
video
are
games.
Hang out.
Yeah. So,
it's gonna be awesome.
With that, you know, again, we're going to shut the fuck up. We're getting out of here. Holy shit, this thing has gone long.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm a chatty chatter.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Chatty Chatterton.
And we are the Experience Grind Podcast. And please stick your finger up your butt and go fuck yourself. Bye, everybody.